Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
You are listening to station WGN.
Oh, a microphony.
And a phony at the mic. Whoa!
And radio became an accepted vehicle for nationwide news and opinion.
Notify all radio and TV stations to broadcast the following message.
Oh, is that the comedy spot?
No, Bubblehead, this isn't a comedy spot.
You're a fun guy, Dave. You're lonely on an island.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is exciting, isn't it?
10, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Just see those sleigh bells jingling, ring, jingle, jingling, too. Come on, it's lovely weather.
Hello, everyone. I'm Esmeralda Leon. You're listening to 720 WGN. Next to me is known as V, but we'll just go with Colin. It's easier that way.
Yeah, go with my given and or Christian name,
yes,
as it were.
Which makes sense. It's Christmas Eve!
Yeah.
So I'm in for Dave Plyer, Esmeralda Leon. We're going to be here till 5 a.m. talking about Christmas, of course. We have to. It would be ridiculous not to. We're also going to talk to comedian Peter John Burns, if you read his article in The Reader. We'll get into that later. And also, he's the medical director of a app that I find very interesting. His name is Dr. Mark Wilson. He is in London, but it's an app called Good Sam. It's an app that saves lives. So we're going to talk to him about that. And I find that thing very cool and see where it is, where you can get it and you can use it. We'll find out more later. But right now, how are you, Colin?
I'm doing well. How are you, Esmeralda?
Oh, very good. I'm doing very well. I'm not tired at all.
No.
This is my usual time. I'm usually doing traffic. As you know, Monday through Friday, I do traffic for Patty Vasquez and Nick DiGilio. So this is my usual time, actually. And right now in the booth, the producer's booth, let's see if your mic works.
Yeah, it's on.
All right, I did it. is Curtis Koch?
Coke, like the
Coke.
Soft drink.
Hey.
Yes.
Curtis Coke.
Very seasonally appropriate. The Coca-Cola Bears,
mm-hmm,
are part of the holiday spirit as well.
Exactly.
I have to tick off all of these things, or there's a tax penalty, I believe.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
There's someone with a bell. Just ding,
they come down you
ding,
hard.
Ding.
Yeah.
We have to mention. And Santa. Ding. There's another one.
Yeah.
But Curtis, how many... You're fairly new to the producing.
Yes.
Cool.
So am I.
To the host... Not really. I'm more new to this whole board and being the host.
So we're both kind of on the same page a little bit?
Yes. So let's hope we don't burn anything down.
Hopefully not.
That's always the goal. Let's not burn anything down. Let's not...
keep the ship afloat.
Exactly. As long as that happens until 5 a.m., we'll be doing well. All right. So I just want to talk about Christmas. And this, too. Call in if you, of course, have any holiday traditions. Is anyone up right now actually doing Christmas things? Because it is Christmas Eve. It is now... It was officially Christmas Eve midnight. So call in 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about this throughout the whole show. But if you have any traditions, anything you do that you're doing now, maybe you're cooking. I don't know.
You might be all
right. People might be freaking out and making cookies.
There's somebody obsessing over sweet potatoes right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But call in and let us know. We're going to be talking about it. Colin, you said to me off air that you could talk all day long about the gifts that you
as
a child.
We will get into, yeah, gifts that if we're there. And definitely call in, let us know gifts that you were over the moon for when you were growing up, things you got that you could not be more excited for. We'll also get into a bit maybe if you've given a terrible gift.
Yeah.
How you handled that
I like
situation.
Talking about, I like complaining. So let's complain about
sweet,
that terrible gift.
Sweet nectar.
Yes, that's my favorite, being real petty. But we've all gotten bad gifts and we've been very polite about them. But now is the time to air your grievances.
Yes.
I know Festivus already happened.
For the rest of us.
Yeah. There you go.
Feats of strength is always one of my favorite holiday traditions.
There you go. Yeah. I forget. When did Festivus happen?
Do you know? I don't remember.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh, there we go.
Is it only one day, Roger?
Yeah. Yeah, just the one day.
Why is it only one day?
I don't know.
Roger, do you have your aluminum pole up already as well? Do you still have it up?
We're not going to talk about that.
Okay, gotcha.
In the cement, right? It has to be in the cement.
It is decorated, though.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Look at you. Nice. You're continental you know with that, your Festivus pole.
The light with the color wheel on it?
Yeah.
That spin, turns around? Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, that's very nice. I had one once. Off,
blinding people as they walk by.
That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have retinas leading into the new year.
Exactly.
You don't need those. Out with the old. In with the new.
No, I had one for a party once. I threw a holiday party and we had a Festivus pole. Because we were celebrating all the religions.
Yeah.
You know, Christian religion, Jewish, and Festivus, whatever that is. It's not really religion, but still.
Yes.
Everyone can partake in that one.
Kwanzaa, I was going to say.
We didn't have any Kwanzaa.
No?
We didn't get the Kwanzaa cake. Like, have you seen that thing? It's frightening. Sandra, half homemade. She's now, I think she's the first lady of New York. No?
I'm not familiar.
Guys.
I'm not familiar with I'm not
Nobody watches
with
the Food
cake.
Network at 2 in the afternoon?
No.
No?
That
okay,
is
cool.
all you.
All right, great. Well, she made a horrific looking cake. It was just this blue cake with frosting and then was like, it's a Kwanzaa cake. It's like, no, that is nothing. That is nothing from no one. I don't know why you even dubbed it that. I'll show you pictures later.
I want to see this. I want to get into
it. It's frightening. She's a nice lady, I think.
Based on your deep intimate relationship through the television screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Cool.
Roger, what is just give me one for now. A gift as a child that you remember that was like your favorite ever.
Oh wow!
Anything.
Well, we got Hanukkah gifts. So,
oh right, that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's
no,
right.
No, that's all right.
He's Jewish. He's Jewish.
Yeah,
sorry,
right. But then I got married, and we started doing after we had the kids. We started doing Christmas. Well,
were you getting double?
Oh yeah,
you'd get double gifts.
See,
then?
That's
yeah,
the,
sure. In fact, I just got my Christmas gifts last night. We had Christmas dinner early.
Oh, nice.
Because our daughter and grandkids will be out Monday. And since I do like a double back shift today on Sunday, we don't have time for a nice relaxed dinner. So we did it yesterday.
We made Christmas for you on your time.
Yeah. Well, of course, everything revolves around me and my family. Just ask my wife.
I'm amazed we're celebrating now. Why? You already did it.
Yeah, right. It's done.
We should have been celebrating yesterday with you.
Old news.
Exactly.
So I got a real nice Blackhawks ski cap.
Hey.
Oh.
I got a pen from one of my granddaughters saying, "Awesome, Grandpa."
Oh, that's nice. Does it write upside down?
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet. It looks like it might.
It only writes in birthday cards that he gives to her.
With
it's
money.
A space pen.
Yeah, right. There's a prerequisite for it working.
It's a space pen. It fills this space.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And then I got a pound of whole bean espresso coffee from our son.
Oh, I know you're a big espresso fan.
Oh, yeah. And so I've got to try that.
Do you eat those straight up, Roger?
Straight, no chaser.
Just eat the beans.
You can pop. You can pop those things.
Oh
like
yeah,
Tic-Tacs.
You can. They're great.
Nice.
In fact, little tip: if you want to taste what a coffee will taste like a specific bean from a different part of the world,
you just
take the roasted bean, you crunch it up, you chew it, and that's what it's going to taste like.
Oh, that sounds awful. it sounds terrible.
All right, so put some chocolate around it, and that's what it might
taste
like.
No, I want it doused in cream, sugar, and chocolate, please.
There you go.
All right, well, 312-981-7200. Call in with traditions, gifts that you may have gotten that you don't like, that you've gotten as a kid. That's also our text number, so you can text if you don't want to call us. If you're frightened of us, it's okay.
Yeah,
many
we'll
people
be
are.
Checking in on that throughout the show as well.
All right, we'll be right back. 720 WGN. Hey, we're back. You're listening to 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon and Colin Reed. We're in for Dave Plyer this morning, Christmas Eve. Where's Santa, Colin?
Right now, checking in with Santa. We actually still don't have a definitive location
right.
of Santa. It is an hour and 42 minutes until Santa leaves the North Pole.
What do you think he's doing?
He is, I believe, finalized. I think he's heating up those hand warmers.
Oh, yeah. He puts those things in. I would imagine.
I think he's thanking elves personally. I think he's handing out superlatives and special recognition to the elves.
What
that
are superlatives?
Like, you know, hardest.
I'm using fancy
like
words.
Like best with a hammer. Or
oh, you think they do that?
I think they do. I think to boost workplace morale. I think it's a hard couple of months leading up to the day.
I mean, yeah, they got to work
intensive
very
hours.
Hard.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of, you know, they're not necessarily going to jet off to it. Or maybe they do. Maybe they jet off to a timeshare afterwards.
Right.
Maybe
I would imagine they'd have a bit of a party afterwards
maybe
to celebrate
go, maybe they go on
that
a very
it went
nice
off.
Sandals vacation. I don't know.
Oh, that would be very nice of Santa.
Yeah.
Santa and Mrs. Claus, they get a whole island.
I mean, you could...
Because I'm sure they know Richard Branson.
I feel like, in, you know, you go down to Turks and Caicos, you might see some nondescript kind of, you know, pudgier men with beards. Then you don't know. You don't know.
Maybe.
You're not going to ask.
Well, there's only one.
You're not going to ask.
I'm going to say. Yeah. All right, so people are already calling in and letting us know about stuff. Steve from Plainfield from 815 says... that he looked at the State Street windows and then in Berghoff's as a kid, and that tradition has continued to my kids. Isn't that sweet?
That's really nice.
I do dig the windows.
Yeah.
And best gift ever was ask my father to stop smoking, and he did.
Hey.
He had just gone through a health class in junior high, and they show a smoker's lung, and that's what he asked. Well, that's a very cheap present.
Yeah, and good on your dad.
Yeah, and he actually went through with it. Because usually they say yes, and then they don't do it.
Yeah.
Hey, I just need to tell you one thing right now. Do you struggle getting deep, restful sleep? Think about it. When was the last time you replaced your pillow? You're tossing and turning, maybe a result of that flat, worn-out pillow you've been sleeping on for years. Try MyPillow and join the millions of people who are getting the best sleep of their lives. And you can try one out absolutely risk-free. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-299-9579. MyPillow is offering their signature four-pack special at 50% off. Just use promo code WGN at checkout, and they'll even throw in free shipping. And on top of a 10-year warranty, MyPillow is so confident you'll love your new pillow, they'll give you a 60-night money-back guarantee. Sleep on it, and if you don't believe it's the absolute best pillow out there, return it for a full refund. Try MyPillow. See why customers have described them as life-changing. Call 800-299-9579 or log on to MyPillow.com. Use promo code WGN. See, that is a good gift. A pillow.
That's
a MyPillow.
That is a very good gift.
Like, you got me that butt pillow.
I did. I got you a lumbar. I got you a lumbar support pillow because you sit at work. And I felt it would be pertinent to your health and well-being.
I know. Was that a Christmas gift?
That was just a gift. I don't like.
Oh,
to
that
assign.
Was just a gift. Okay,
I don't
money
like
bags.
To, I don't like to assign. I don't like to assign things. I think gifts. I think it's very nice around the holiday time. I think the sentiment of the season is great. I feel like you should sprinkle in gifts for people you have in your life throughout the year.
Well, that's very
that's
nice
my philosophy. I am a terrible human being otherwise, and that's how I balance.
I got a butt pillow, Donna. What is a Christmas gift that you've gotten? Do I have her up? No. Phone. Am I doing it right?
Buttons.
I did this perfect the last time, so
that's all right.
No one can blame me.
We definitely want to hear, but we definitely want to continue to hear from you guys out there as well. Gifts that you have gotten, you're getting for people this year. Things that you were super excited for as children. Esmeralda, did you have anything?
Wait, look. 870 says the elves have taken vacation to Christmas Island. Christmas Island.
Oh, there's a Christmas Island.
Do we not get to go there?
Does Branson just have ready access to that as well, Richard Branson?
No.
I feel like he
that's how exclusive it is.
Okay. Just them.
Yeah.
That's
no.
Nice.
So a gift that I've gotten that was my favorite, it has to be the Super Nintendo.
That is a good, that's a big one.
It has to be the Super Nintendo that I got as a kid. My dad just took me to the Circuit City and said, what do you want? Or he knew I wanted the Super Nintendo. He went, go get it, and then get what game you want.
You described this so anticlimactically.
Because that's what it was.
He's really fulfilling. It is direct wish fulfillment. He took you to the store.
No, it was very nice.
And got, yeah. But
he didn't wrap it or
anything. He describes like, yeah, what do you want? Go get it.
That was his attitude.
There you go. Yeah. Does he not get into the holiday?
Not really.
No. Okay. Well, that's what
he. Well, we'll talk about it later because we'll talk about traditions.
Yes.
In other countries, and he's from Guatemala, and he just raves about how amazing it is there for Christmas. Curtis, what's your favorite gift that you've gotten?
I have a few.
I'll
go with the one. Kind of going off the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. I got a PlayStation 2 probably when I was 7 years old.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And at the time, PlayStation 2 was like the newest thing out there. But then growing up more and more, GameCube became one of my favorites.
Nice.
But those two were definitely great gifts to open up on Christmas morning.
I feel like video games just hold a special place for life.
Donna?
Yeah.
I figured it out. Christmas. What's the Christmas gift that you, the favoritest that you've gotten?
The most favorite I got was a Tiny Tears doll. I was 4 years old, and I was surprised, and I still have it to this day.
Aww.
Oh, my gosh, that probably costs a lot of money now.
Yes, it was. And I have a twin sister, and she got one, and so we each both have it, and we both take it out of our cedar chest and say, ooh, look what we still have.
Oh, that's really nice. Adorable. Are you going to pass it on to next of kin?
Yes, grandchildren, yes.
Oh, yes. Let's hope they don't tear it to pieces.
There should be a competition.
Oh, no, we'll wait until a little bit older.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Exactly. Yeah, well, thanks, Donna. Well, thanks for calling.
I want to wish a Merry Christmas to
yes.
both of you.
Oh, thank you, so
very,
much.
Very much.
Thank you.
You as well.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, I did it right. I forgot that there was the phone that you had to touch as well, other than the board. That's okay. There's one snafu. Now, did you tell us yours, Colin?
I have two words for you. Oh. Dino Riders. That is the thing.
What is that?
That was a similar to many 80s, late 80s, early 90s cartoon shows, Saturday morning cartoon shows, created specifically to sell toys. Much in the vein of what was some of those, like Masters of the Universe, and you know, GoBots and all those things. These were we watched this. Remember,
we did watch it.
Yeah, we watched the.
And they're people who ride dinosaurs.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, they're futuristic though.
They were space commanders.
Yeah,
and they then traveled through.
I'm gonna have to look these up because I have no idea what you're talking about.
You can watch all these episodes on YouTube. They travel through a portal, a space time portal, and then they land on like prehistoric Earth. There are these other space lizards chasing them that also crash. They then go out and explore and then discover dinosaurs.
Wow.
And the good guys have these like amulets around their necks to let them telepathically communicate with the dinosaurs.
Oh my
God. I think I know where you're going with this. I think I've seen this before.
And then they bond with them. And like then the evil lizard people then like just enslave them and like make weapons of them because they want to attack the good guys. I can't remember their name.
You know that all of this sounds also, it's a cartoon, but it also sounds like a crazy conspiracy theory that you have.
No, we'll get into that
of
later.
Dinosaurs.
There's an
and
offset
like
of this.
Gold pieces that that call out to
There's
dinosaurs.
There's an Illuminati offshoot of this. We'll
yeah,
get into
I
later.
Mean.
But
if you watch it enough, I bet you can find the clues.
Then again, this was of course just an excuse for me to then wake up early morning and open a brontosaurus that you put a weaponized missile pack on and awkwardly.
Because you know brontosauruses need that.
There's video evidence of this, and that's probably top five, if not the happiest moment I've been.
There it is, and I think they were off-brand Dino Riders from the video that I saw. Yeah, they were like, I'm not going to get you the real one.
Those were legit. Those were legit. Yeah, those was legit.
Okay. What was the other one?
You
had the two.
Riders,
yeah. Oh no, you Curtis had the.
Yeah,
two of them.
When I got older, I played travel baseball all through high school. So getting like the newest baseball bat, aluminum baseball bat from any sporting goods store was always cool for me, at least. At the time, it's kind of funny. I don't know if you guys have ever thought about this too. Like when you're younger, you know, you don't really appreciate like getting like socks and like t-shirts or any sort of clothing.
No,
and
that's the worst.
You're older, and then and now you're older, and you're like, you know what? I could use some extra socks like here and there. And now it's like, oh, nice! I can actually kind of stock up on that.
Oh, for sure. Are you kidding me?
That's great.
I want an 8-pack of socks.
Yeah,
and underwear. That would be amazing. That would be the best gift. I wouldn't need anything else. A Target gift card, like how sad. And then you would use it to probably buy food and socks and underwear.
Right.
You'd be like, oh, I need a new pair of shoes from Target. Thanks, Mom.
I feel like some people poo-poo the practical, but thought is what, it is truly what counts. I mean, there's something to be said for execution, too.
And it's something every time you slap those socks on, you'll think of Mom and Dad.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. I'm Esmeralda Leon, Colin Reed. We're in for Dave Plyer. You're listening to 720 WGN. Oh, okay. Well, no, it's still early, so we can still keep talking. I thought it was going to go till the news.
We don't
have
to. We could just have
such a long break.
We could just have dead air.
We got time, Roger. We got time.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's innovative.
We have nothing but time.
That's well, it's slowly running out. We are all slowly dying.
Jeez.
Oh,
one
wow.
day at
and
a time.
Merry Christmas.
She is fun.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
She is fun at parties.
No, we have some texters who gave us their favorites. I like this one. This goes on you with the Dino Riders.
What's
from
up?
The 630. My favorite Christmas present was a transformer named Soundwave that turned into a functioning boombox.
He would play the cassettes, and there was another robot, that a transformer that would turn into a cassette.
Have they updated him?
I believe he is in one of
the
newer...
is kind of
he
obsolete.
Is in one of the newer films, actually.
Is he an iPod?
No.
Is he still a boombox?
That would be regressive updating.
Yeah, but he's still a boombox, if he breaks, No one's going to know how to fix him.
Somebody will.
And where's he getting these cassettes? Because doesn't
know.
He talk through the...
From Guardians of the Galaxy.
From underground DJs.
What? No, 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 this is Transformers.
Oh, no, but I do love that, how he's got the cassette,
Oh, he's got the cassette. Yeah, well, because he doesn't know any better. He's been in space.
He's got some sweet, sweet jams on that thing.
He does. His parents were very good with the music. Also, this is going to be, we're going to talk about this after the news, your kids and getting spoiled and stuff.
Yeah, which, you know, I mean, you want to have.
Right. But I like this from the 815.
Yes, that basically they would say that, you know, the tradition being that Santa is the one that fills the stockings, mm-hmm. and that mom and dad were the ones that would get the credit for the gifts under the tree. So then they would just ask for Santa to fill their stockings with things nice. So that was very, I thought, very practical and very, very intelligent way to do it.
We
to kind
did.
Of
Santa did everything in our house.
Did he? The, he fixed your gutters too?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
He's up there.
Out. Yeah.
Might as well.
That's what the noises were.
Cleaned out the chimneys. Yeah. You know.
Very good.
But very thorough.
I figured, this was the story I told the kids growing up, that the reason why their presents weren't wrapped is, well, it's from Santa's workshop. Why wrap the present? It's right from the workshop.
Okay.
And they all had batteries already, and they were all put together, and that was Santa. And Santa would then, you know, we made sure that they left a plate of cookies and carrots for the reindeer. And they would be, they would come out, and the carrots would be half eaten, and the cookies half eaten, and the milk would be halfway down, and there would be a note written by Dad Santa, left-handed. Not right-handed.
Because Santa's left-handed?
Well, because I'm right-handed.
Oh,
so
you think they would catch on?
Right. No. It said, thanks for the cookies, the reindeer. Thank you for the carrots.
Wow.
Merry Christmas. Hope you enjoy your gifts. Something like that.
Wow. Well,
and
I had a completely different
some
way of how things.
Genius stuff.
Yeah. I had a different way of going things. We'll talk about it after the news.
God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior.
720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon. To my right, I had to check that. That's real bad. I had to check which was my right and my left hand. It's
left,
early, guys.
Your left makes the L.
I'm so excited for Christmas. That's what is Colin Reed in the producer's booth, Curtis Koch. Right?
Yep, you got it.
Yes.
Do you have to pay them royalties on that?
They have to pay him.
There you go.
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
Help pay off those student loans right off the bat.
Yep, those polar bears owe you a lot of money.
They do.
You're listening to 720 WGN, in for Dave Plyer. We're here till 5 a.m., and we're talking, of course, Christmas. And I know this is going to be a bit old, but hour 22 minutes, guys, till Santa flies off to I don't know where.
Santa goes live.
He goes somewhere.
From the North Pole and beyond.
But he... He sounds like he's a DJ at the 70s. He's a DJ at the Loop.
Yeah.
Santa, playing those hits.
He's a man of many talents. He's got a whole year to fill.
He does. I always wonder, what does he do? I mean, how long? I mean, because the elves are really doing all the work.
Yeah.
Come on, let's be honest.
Like
he's checking stuff, but.
Glass blowing.
He just has a bunch of hobbies.
Ice sculpting.
Oh.
You know what? You work with what you have around you.
Right, right. And he has a lot of snow. Ooh, he probably makes a mean snow castle.
Probably.
He probably has that perfected.
He's a wicked snowball. The throwing kind and the eating kind.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So we had a text talking about how they Santa only filled the stockings, and the parents were doing the big ticket items. They're not necessarily spoiled. But
I think that can be a thing. You want it, you know, again, not having kids, but you want
to go all out
for your kids.
It's always the worry that, you know, if you go all out, it's going to, you know, you're going to ruin them.
Well, I think it sets like a foundation of expectation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of things. We don't have children, but we were children at one point.
Yes.
So there's a couple of things you can do pretty much to not spoil your kids.
Yeah, there's an article here, and it just goes through a few kind of suggestions.
Yeah.
One is start a charity drive.
Which I think is very nice. I know people do it for Halloween.
Right, and they often do it, you know, around times, even leading into the winter with food drives and coat drives
and
such.
But this is a nice thing. You get your kids involved.
Yeah.
And especially, I'm sure they have so many coats.
We
go through coats like it's no one's business.
In my family, we actually, I hadn't thought of this in years, but we would go to the Make-A-Wish tree that they would have.
What's that?
They would have a tree. I might be getting conflicting organizations, but they would have a tree in the mall, and they would have tags on it.
Okay.
And each tag would correspond with a child that was less fortunate, and they would ask, they would be asking for a gift, a specific gift, and then you would get them that gift, and that was something. So we would go and do that every year for every member of the household. We would each get that.
Oh my gosh, that's very nice. Did you get to pick what the kids got?
I think it would be, I don't know if it would be specific things. It would be, I would like, you know, like a truck or a stuffed animal, or they would keep it kind of, you know, generally vague, and then you could go and get, and then it would still be a surprise for them when they get it. So
okay.
It's just
that's really nice. We never did anything like that.
So,
I like this too. Define needs versus wants. Because I know little kids are very much like, I need this. It's like, you don't need
your
dino
like
rider, little Colin.
It can feel like that.
Well, yeah, because it's all you have in life.
Yeah.
You're a small child.
What's that from The Simpsons when Bart steals the video game? It's like, it's really their fault for making you want it that much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. But it's nice to talk to your kids about and define what they actually need.
Yeah.
A coat, socks, and underwear.
For sure.
I feel like it happens. Yeah, you start to figure these out as you get older.
It all comes full circle.
There you go. See? Yeah. Exactly.
When you're 11, you don't think you're going to get excited for an industrial flashlight later on in life in your stocking, but guess what, kid?
Yeah.
You will.
And those lights go out?
Yeah.
And or you just do flashlight raves?
Yeah. When you got to change a tire on the side of the road, you're going to be thankful.
My parents gave me that flashlight.
Yeah. I like this one, especially with, you know, a lot more devices and electronics being more prevalent now with kids and adults and tweens, is that still a thing?
Yes.
Tweens?
Yes.
Those still exist. Splitting big ticket items.
Okay.
You kind of, you know, you go, not necessarily Dutch, but you kind of can throw in on a little bit, show that how badly you do want it or that you're putting an investment in yourself.
So you do chores and you do, you know, things for the neighborhood, shoveling snow, all that jazz.
Yeah.
Did you get an allowance as a kid?
I did not. I did chores for compensation. Well, actually, and the compensation only came later. Originally, we just did chores to do chores to be part of the household. And as we got a little older, as opportunity presented themselves to spend money on things out like movies or things of that nature, then they would be like, okay, well, if you do this, then we'll give you that. You know, it was very kind of, okay,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Curtis, did you?
It was kind of like the same thing. Yeah. I mean, my sister and I got allowances, but it wasn't like very much consistent. It was more so like, all right, if you guys can get, you know, all this stuff done, you know, we'll pay for your next like video game or whatever Cassie, my sister and I wanted.
Yeah.
Was essentially it.
My parents were just, they just told me to do, they're like, yeah, you should be doing this. Why do I have to pay you? It's like, okay, thanks.
And then every once in a while,
they would give me I'd be like, I want to go to the movies. And they'd sometimes give me cash for it.
They'd let you loose in a store and be like, what was it you wanted? Oh,
yeah. What do you want? Go get it. My dad now has a southern accent for some reason.
There you go.
Yep.
I also thought this was the one that stuck out to me as well. Thank you cards. Thank you cards to write to people, family members,
other
people.
How do you do that though for Santa?
I mean,
he just knows.
I think if you're little enough, you're just sticking a stamp on that thing and putting it in the mailbox.
Right.
I think there's a certain amount of you pass that wonderment on.
You know what? Thought they should have a box where you can send thank you notes to Santa.
Because they do have the one where you send your list to them.
Right.
So they should have one for the thank. Yeah,
just
that's
me. I want.
Yeah.
Santa should get some credit. I mean, yeah, you give him cookies, but come on.
I mean, I think the presumption is too. He already knows when you're sleeping. He knows
that's
when you're
awake.
I'm guessing he can hear you if you're like, thanks.
Oh,
thanks, Santa.
Oh, I thought he could read your mind. No? Is that
I think you're thinking of Spock. I think you're thinking of Spock when he touches you.
Spock hangs out with Santa.
Yeah.
And then he tells him that kid is bad.
I'd like to believe that.
That he hangs out?
Yeah, I think
Spock
Spock and Obi-Wan and all the other. Yeah.
They're all up there.
They're all just hanging out.
Using the Force, doing mind pinches. What is that thing that Spock did?
You're going to get
Mind melds. Nobody.
Vulcan nerve pinch.
There
you're
going to
get
go.
A lot of angry. These were all cheery texts, and now you're going to get nothing.
I didn't watch
but
that stuff.
You're going to get nothing but sci-fi vitriol now.
I didn't do that stuff.
I was speaking with someone earlier today that relayed to me that in terms of a gift, he revealed that he had not seen any of the Star Wars movies. And then somebody he worked with forcefully was like, here. They were just on his desk.
That is a gift? Here.
Like, they're yours until you watch all of them.
Oh,
They're yours. Like, it's like a gift, but it's almost like...
That is kind of a nice gift.
It's a gift the same... Well, no, not the same. I was going to say it's a gift the same way the city puts a boot on your car. It's like, here, you're dealing with this.
Learn your lesson.
Yeah.
Watch Star Wars.
Yeah, but then also, you know, Ewan McGregor, so whatever.
Okay. Is that really?
He's
That's
in the
one you're going to use?
He's in the prequel. Well, what?
I know, but there's so many. You could go Han Solo.
Yeah, I like to be obscure.
Jabba the Hutt. I was about to call him Gaba.
You brought up Jar Jar Binks the other day, so we will not speak of that anymore than I've already done.
He's terrible. Even I know that.
Yeah.
And I don't
watch Jar Jar's not up. Jar Jar's not up at the North Pole, guys.
No, he's not. No, he's somewhere else. Somewhere very,
he's
very far.
He's at the South Pole.
Yes. All right. The 847 best gift was front row Van Morrison tickets.
That's a good one.
That's actually kind of cool.
Sounds delightful.
Have you ever gotten concert tickets?
No.
For Christmas? I haven't either.
I've given because I know my brother loves the Wu-Tang Clan, and I got him tickets.
You're a cool sister.
I was like, I don't know what else you want, and I know they're coming to town. You're getting tickets.
That's a great gift.
Mm-hmm. But no one's ever given me.
I feel like you got to be 100% on that.
Yeah, you got to know they love that band. Because I've gotten tickets as gifts for not Christmas, but like other things, and it's just been like, why? You don't know me at all. Why did you give me these? I heard them once. I don't want to come see the whole show.
I give myself tickets.
Right.
To
I gift myself all the time.
Have you ever been given music, though? Has anybody got you like a CD?
Yeah. I've gotten, let's see, I had like Green Day CDs.
Right.
Given to me for Christmas. And I think Gnarls Barkley, too, one year.
Okay.
But that was really it.
It more of like a learn who these people are.
No,
or was it
at least for Green Day?
These are cool.
Yeah, it was kind of more. I heard this song is trending. And it's on the one song on an album of like 14 different songs.
I heard
this is what the kids are into.
It.
Yeah, that
exactly. Thanks, Grandma. All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll be back. 720 WGN. Esmeralda Leon, Colin Reed in for Dave Plyer. 720 WGN. Esmeralda Leon, Colin Reed in for Dave Plyer. Fine Christmas Eve. That was Bing Crosby and David Bowie singing Little Drummer Boy. And actually, all of these songs we picked earlier because we thought it's Christmas Eve. You have to do it. So all of these are kind of our favorites that we thought of.
Yeah. And if we want to hear, definitely text or call in with your favorites as well if you guys have any favorites.
Yeah, that would be nice. Curtis, do you have one?
Songs.
Do you have like one that you're like, yes, that's mine?
I like the Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Carol of the Bells.
Ooh, that is
love that one.
That is a
big
bombastic
one. Do you go to
one.
The shows?
No, I don't go to the shows.
Those are crazy.
I hear those things are insane.
Yeah,
just lasers and steam and t-shirt cannons. No, I don't know.
Steam.
I've never been to one, can you tell?
Think of trains?
Yes.
Is that why? Steam?
Yeah. They're the house band on the on the Polar Express. Am I wrong?
Yeah. They take up all seven cars.
They're hanging out with creepy CGI Tom Hanks. Isn't that?
There you go.
Serving hot chocolate and
exactly. While they rock out.
Yeah, just wailing on
to Jingle Bells. Or what is it?
It's the Carol of the Bells.
Carol of the Bells. Jingle Bells is another song. I'm sure they do a great version of that. That's always a good
somewhere
one.
Along
this is
the
just
way.
Just loose word association
sure.
now. Bells. Hell's Bells. AC/DC.
So yeah. I'm sure AC/DC does a great
I bet they do.
Version.
Right? Christmas out. We didn't look into AC/DC. Although I do enjoy the
like rock.
The rock,
jingles,
the heavier
yeah,
rock, okay.
Christmas songs.
Should look up if Dragon Force has a Christmas song.
I mean Trans-Siberian Orchestra is very
metal.
Yeah? Yeah? Would you call it metal?
I think that's metal in the way that Jethro Tull won the first metal Grammy. I think that's.
Oh, all right.
I think they. Yikes. I do think they rock pretty hard.
Okay.
I think they rock pretty hard in their vein.
All right.
But speaking so stores, you were just speaking of stores.
We were speaking of Andersons.
In case you are, and that you are an 11th hour shopper as well. So I look forward to the D batteries that I will be getting.
Yes, and chew toys.
Cool. Even well, they make fun sounds. So so around the Chicagoland area, Target, Kmart, and Big Lots are going to be open as late as 10 p.m. tonight. Walmart, Kohl's, JCPenney, and Macy's will be open until 6, as long as Sears.
Okay, good.
And Dillard's as well. So just to give you
Dillard's.
Many options.
Do we have a Dillard's?
Dillard's. I don't know. Dillard's. I spent
Big
some
lots.
Time in Missouri, so they had plenty of
Dillard's. Oh, they
got them? Yeah.
Well, we are in, I believe, 38 states.
Yes.
And parts of Canada.
And throughout the state of Illinois, as I like to call it.
But you can go to Big Lots, Sears, Macy's. All the big ones are open until about 6. Big Lots till 10. I've never been to a Big
you
Lots.
You still have time now.
Yeah.
Later on, less so.
Right.
That is the nature
FYI,
of time.
They're not open now. So
no.
Don't go now.
Don't go. You're just somebody's just frantically pulling on
like,
socks.
We have to go. But if you're one of those last minute shoppers, also Toys R Us is going to be open till 9. Barnes and Noble, Best Buy, they're going to be open till about 6. Dollar Tree, love me a Dollar Tree.
Yeah,
there is some stuff in there that you would not expect.
Some air fresheners.
You can get some very nice plastic plates that look
festive
nice.
And functional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, you can decorate your whole place, plates and all, at Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
It is a deal.
You know what other day it is today? Other than being Christmas Eve.
What? There's
it is
other
national,
days.
It is National Eggnog Day today.
Oh, man.
So I don't know if there's any other eggnog aficionados out there. Or enthusiasts.
Colin loves his eggnog. Curtis, are you an eggnog fan?
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
I have to be in a mood for it. Now,
fair point.
I mean, I think at the same time, there's like eggnog desserts and stuff like that I can get
like
into.
Like an eggnog milkshake?
Yeah, or I know there's like eggnog pies and like stuff like that too. Add a like little nutmeg on top of it, and I could get into it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily talking even about your holiday party nog, which usually has like some full diesel gasoline
boozy.
Up in there.
He likes just like we went to Jewel and he bought an Oberweis.
I treated myself.
I was say
glass container,
which
of
I'd
eggnog.
Never had before. And it's the rich, velvety experience that I could have only hoped for in my dreams.
It was really good.
It is so good.
I enjoy eggnog, but this
so
one
choice.
Over here, you really love it.
By
the way, 815 says, Kohl's is open now. They've been open 24 hours since the 21st.
Dang.
So I guess you can go now.
Shout out and God bless to any and all retail employees.
I worked in retail.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Same.
We could probably both speak to this, but Black Friday was crazy. I'm from Crystal Lake, so out in the suburbs, it's not as bad.
Really? I would think
it dissipates a bit.
It depends. Yeah. I worked at a hardware store, so for my case, it wasn't bad. I mean, it was still bad, but it wasn't like, banging at the doors waiting to get in like to Best Buy.
No, there's like good deals on wrench sets and things like that. There's people like planning ahead and still getting in on deals, but it's not like I need to elbow a grandma for a TV. It's not
but it's a cheap TV. That's probably overpriced, and then they knock down the price to less.
I was very fortunate. I don't think I ever had to work a Black Friday, but I grew up out around Woodfield Mall, and you just go and watch. You just watch.
You sit in your car and watch people?
No, like you go to the mall and you'll just watch people. They'll just open the gates on places, and people will just flood in.
I will say this. My family, one year, actually for a few years, we would go to Woodfield early. Because we would host Thanksgiving at our house, so we would already be home, and we would go to Woodfield, and just like what you were just saying, just watching people just pushing around trying to get everything. And you know what's really funny is my dad and I played a game when we were going back to the parking lot. We would purposely go down the wrong aisle, and people would be like creeping, like their cars just going like slower than walking. Pacing,
stalking you for their spot.
Yeah. And then
for your
my
spot.
Dad and I would cut across two rows, and then they'd get all flustered and have to.
Wow,
it was just a way to keep us entertained at 7 o'clock in the morning on Black Friday.
That's pretty funny. It's also kind of quantifiably terrible, but it's too funny to.
Exactly.
The funny outweighs the terrible.
Yeah. FYI, Santa was watching. Just so you know,
I'm sure he was laughing with us. To be honest.
He knows the pain.
He needs some entertainment. He has worked very hard.
He does. By the way, hour and 2 minutes.
till, yeah, countdown.
Before he takes off.
I guess that's a question. What do you think Santa watches for entertainment? Do you think he watches...
Good question.
He loves a good crime drama. Do you think he watches, True Detective?
Game of Thrones or any of that sort of stuff?
I think he would enjoy... Oh, man, that's a good question. I think, yeah. What would he watch? Game of Thrones, probably, because he's got the reindeer, but they have dragons. So I think that's maybe a little bit... That's even an extra level of fantasy wish fulfillment for him.
Oh, do you think he dresses them up sometimes?
What, the dragons or the reindeer?
The reindeer is dragons?
I'd like to imagine Khaleesi maybe gets a little... Whatever holiday they celebrate in Westeros.
It's Mrs. Claus. She dresses up as Khaleesi.
Okay. So now we're working in Halloween to it, too. What does Mr. and Mrs. Claus dress up for Halloween?
They love to go to the Comic-Cons.
That's true. Because then nobody knows who they are.
Right.
That's true. And they can
no one
use,
knows them outside
They can
of their
use
red
just
outfits.
Their magic power to just kind of like, you know.
Show up.
Hallmark holiday special style. Just sprinkle a glitter. And they're just in a different costume.
I love that we've turned Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus into
They like to get out. They're more interesting than people give them credit for.
Someone should interview them.
Yeah.
At Christmas Island.
I think there's a non-disclosure agreement that's like the size of a phone book.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, I think so.
The secrets that they have up there. By the way, AC/DC does have a Christmas song.
Do they?
The 219, Mistress for Christmas.
There you... Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've never heard it.
Spicy.
I'm sure it's... I'm sure it's jamming. All right, so coming up, we're going to have to take a little break from Christmas chat. We're going to be speaking with, he's the medical director of Good Sam, Dr. Mark Wilson. We're going to talk to him after the news. He has an app that's saving lives. He will talk more about it. And then in the 3:30 hour, right?
3:30?
Yes. We're going to have Peter John Burns in, and he's going to talk about his article that he wrote for The Reader under the, what is it? What's the word?
The issue out currently is the Worst of Chicago issue, which chronicles and examines the things that not only native Chicagoans, I think there was a Reader poll as well, the kind of lesser appreciated nor desired things that go along with, of course, the wonderful city in which we live.
Right. Because I'm sorry, but we as Chicagoans love to complain.
Yes, we do.
And this is a perfect...
Savor it like sweet bone marrow.
Yeah. And this is a great issue.
There's admittedly, let's be fair, there's admittedly some garbage things. That,
yeah. We have to let it out and then we go,
yeah, it's catharsis. It's a good important
city
to examine.
Right. And some of them are like ROM, the Divvy bikes.
Yeah. Our thirst for celebrity culture.
Yes.
Was one.
Even though we're trying to do that.
Billy Corgan.
Billy Corgan was one, although he was in the studio, I think, Friday.
I'm not saying, and we're not saying that these are necessarily fair, but I think
very dapper.
All of the articles are very well written, and we're going to get into that as well.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to Peter John Burns about improv.
Yeah.
So what's the worst improv? But it's all in good fun, guys. Right now, we're going to go to the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. You're listening to 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon. To my right is Colin Reed. We are in for Dave Plyer this morning, Christmas Eve. And we have on the line Professor Mark Wilson. He is the medical director for this app that I saw it on Facebook. It was this video, and it's this app called Good Sam's. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Can you let us know what is Good Sam's or Good Sam?
Yeah, okay. So basically, Good Sam is a platform that we've set up that works across all mobile providers, iOS and Android, and as a sort of a web platform as well. And basically what it does is it alerts people who are trained in CPR, so basic life support, to cardiac arrests that are going on around them. And it's been established about 2 years now, and it's really taken off in the UK and across Australia and New Zealand. It's working extremely well. It's a highly governed system that anyone who's like a doctor, nurse, paramedic, someone who's got CPR as part of their statutory training can register on. And it basically just sits on your phone, doesn't do anything unless the cardiac arrest is going on within a few hundred meters of you, and then it alarms and asks you if you're able to go.
That's amazing. So how does it work? So someone makes the 911 call And it goes to 911. How does the app know alert?
It varies in different places. So in the UK, it's integrated with what's called CAD, computer-aided dispatch. So in the UK, it's 999. In Australia, it's 000. Obviously, in America, it's 911. And when it's integrated with that ambulance service or emergency service for that region, then it automatically dispatches through that or automatically alerts through that. And that's because of a sort of setup where if someone says the words like not conscious or not breathing, then it automatically triggers the system. Now, we do rely on ambulance services and firefighting services to integrate with it. And in the US, we're just really starting out trialing at the moment in a few places. But in the UK, it's fully integrated in, so for example, for London, for example. So if you happen to be in London and someone has a cardiac arrest, then it will trigger through that. Now, there is another system called an alerting system that's built into it as well. So there's GoodSAM Responder and GoodSAM Alerter. And the public can download the Alerter system as well, which just triggers the GoodSAM response and dials 911 for you at the same time. So actually, if you're having a cardiac arrest, if someone in front of you is having a cardiac arrest, the best thing to do is use the Alerter app because it will alert the three people whilst the phone's dialing to talk to the emergency services. So you'll have three people running towards you whilst that's going on.
Wow.
So how did this come about? How did this app idea happen?
Yeah, so I work for air ambulance organizations in the UK and as an emergency pre-hospital care doctor. And we were going to quite a lot of people that would have a head injury and stop breathing. Mm-hmm. And we'd get there and would resuscitate them. But unfortunately, the damage had already happened by the time we got there, like even if it's like 4, 5, 6 minutes later. The damage, the hypoxic, the lack of oxygen, that damage has been done. So what we wanted to try and do is find a way of just someone intervening in those 2, 3, 4 minutes before we got there. We realized that in most parts of the world, certainly in an urban environment, you're never more than 300 or 400 meters from someone who is trained, well-trained. And even in the rural environments, you'll find that in most towns, little villages, for example, there'll be a doctor, a dentist, a paramedic, or someone who is a policeman who is maybe off duty, but will be able to go to sort of look after that little community. So we really wanted to alert those people. And by teaming up the right group of people to build the system, it's really worked extremely well.
Oh, that's amazing. How many first responders would you say are on your app?
So we've got about 15,000 at the moment. The system's being used, for example, in London, it's activated about 30 times a day. Similarly, in places like in New South Wales and Australia and in other parts of the UK, Midlands, it's also activated similar number of times. And that's through the ambulance services. And we're seeing quite a few lives saved now as a result of it. If people are listening, at the moment we're not active in Chicago other than through the Alerter system, but if it's something that the services there are interested in, we'd be delighted to demonstrate it. As I say, we're rolling out in a couple of services now in Australia, in America, but it'd be great to get more on.
Do you have exactly where, do you know where in the U.S.?
So Montgomery County is about to start trialing with us and a couple other places, just small pockets to start with.
Oh, okay.
And we're out beyond that.
Okay. And how do you confirm, someone downloads the app, which you can find on Google Play and the Apple Store. So you get on it, and then how do you confirm that, you can actually do CPR and
as I say, the system is highly governed, and it has to be highly governed to work with ambulance services. Mm-hmm. Certainly in the UK, in Australia, they have very strict rules. And so we require people to, if you are a doctor, nurse, paramedic, for example, you have to upload some ID or some certification that shows you have been trained and assessed in CPR. So if you work in a hospital, people just upload their hospital ID. Mm-hmm. And we check that against the relevant register, whether it be a nursing or a doctor register or any other register we can. And then they get put on the system. Now, the system is actually quite a bit more than that because organizations can come on board. So, for example, the Red Cross and John are on board, and they can check their own people rather than us having to check them. They can be checked by different organizations. And so it's only some of the ambulance services check all their own people. So if you it's a platform, if you understand, where lots of different organizations can utilize the basically the technology behind it. So it acts as a glue behind, but there's lots of first aid organizations out there and lots of ambulance service organizations out there. What you don't want is everyone having their own app. What you want is everyone using the same background technology where you can increase your responder density massively. So to just give you an example, if you have a cardiac arrest in Heathrow Airport, mm-hmm. your chances of survival are 80%, whereas on the streets of London it's 9%. And the difference is the speed at which people jump on your chest and the fact that people are training. What we want to do is basically recreate the response you get in an airport to what you get on the streets of urban and rural, the world, basically.
Right.
Because my understanding is that within those first moments of you dealing with the cardiac arrest, what happens is crucial and vital to your survival rate, correct?
Yeah, so for every minute that you don't get CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or don't be defibrillated, your chances of survival fall by 10%. By 8 minutes, which is in London, we aim to be on scene with an ambulance service within 8 minutes. Obviously, it varies across the US, but in 8 minutes, by that point, you've made 80% chance of leave is gone. So you really need someone there. And there is a real drive to encourage people, the population, to be trained in CPR, and that's absolutely mm-hmm. right. However, if someone has a cardiac arrest in front of you, often, if it's a loved one, it's so emotionally awful,
right.
that actually doing high-quality CPR and jumping in and doing it properly is quite difficult. So you really do need someone who's sort of slightly detached to come in and start the process whilst the ambulance is on the way. And I must emphasize, this doesn't replace the ambulance service at mm-hmm. all. The ambulance service is still coming. It's just providing someone there for a few minutes beforehand.
Right. It's a supplement that's meant to lead into, obviously, and again, increase that chance of survival and recovery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it seems to be working well. And there's tons more coming out from this as well. So there's a whole video on scene now and various other things so that the emergency service can actually see the patient, enable you to make better decisions. And we're rolling that out now in the UK and in other parts of the world as well. So there's this world of emergency medicine, but it's in the pre-hospital phase, mm-hmm. is really exciting. And there is so much, especially with technology now, that we can do to enhance those first few minutes, those first hour before people get into hospital. And for things like any neuro or anything cardiac, where cells, neurons and cardiac cells only have a few minutes of oxygen, that's the period of time when you can make a massive difference. So it's very exciting.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Professor Mark Wilson, goodsamapp.org, correct?
Yeah. Which stands for Smartphone Activated Medics.
And you said. And you said that we're rolling out in the U.S. It's very, there's those few pockets, but you guys are expecting.
Yeah, but if people are listening and want to get in touch, please do. Just info at goodsamapp.org. And we'd be delighted to come and demonstrate it and get the various services on board. It should be good.
Well, thank you for joining us. And we hope that, that rolls out throughout the U.S. and continues on as well.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Take care.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
That is amazing. Just the idea of it. I love that
crowdsourcing
someone...
crowdsourcing medical care with professionals in crisis moments.
Yes.
That's, you're using that technology as a bridge to help save people's lives.
I love
lives.
It. See,
that's
one good really cool. thing about technology.
Yeah.
Right, guys?
I mean, as fun as those Snapchat filters are.
Yeah. No, yeah. This, I think, is a little higher up in the hierarchy of technology. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is WGN 720. 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon. Colin Reed, sidecar with me this lovely Christmas Eve morning. I get so excited for Christmas on Christmas Eve. Before it, I'm a Grinch. I could care less. People are like, aren't you excited for Christmas? I'm like,
You know what's funny is my mom this year was really into the holiday spirit, and she actually had our tree set up, like no ornaments on it, just was on the stand and everything before Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, it's a lovely shrub.
Well, I know for some people that's like super early. For others, it's kind of like right in there, like right when Thanksgiving hits, it seems like most people try to get into like the holiday spirit, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And I know for my mom, she put it up before Thanksgiving. So.
Is she a huge, like, does she go all out?
Oh, she loves Christmas time.
Is your
holiday
house just-
stuff.
Is like your parents' house just exploded Christmas?
And- we're not those like super decorated houses that you see on like the WGN Facebook pages and all that sort of stuff, or those videos where it's like synchronized lights and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But we do decorate the house, and we have two different trees.
Oh,
one is like all like family stuff, and then my mom has also like a Christopher Radko ornament collection, which is like the the big like glittery ones. That there's like different ones. I know there's a bunch of Chicago made ones, right? And that sort
is that
of
in
thing.
The is that in the front room?
Yes, it's in the very front room.
It's in the nice room where no one goes, and you just look at it.
Literally,
and that's it.
Describing it perfectly.
My parents have the same thing. It's the room you don't go into. Although as an adult now, I'd have friends. She'd be like, "Why didn't you bring your friends in to sit in the room?" I'm like, no, what? We don't have tea. What are we going to do in there?
I mean, now that it's older, now that my sister and I are older, we can go in there and sit in there. But I mean,
you're allowed now.
I mean, we're allowed, but it's more so like we were kind of just we've never been in that room,
right?
Just, there was never like a need for my sister and I to go in
exactly.
there,
exactly, because it's pristine and clean.
Yeah,
and you have to sit like with your legs crossed under you or something. I don't know. Like it feels like a museum, at least in my house. We don't go in there.
Yeah, and I don't know how serious you guys are about like interior decorating.
Oh, like Christmas?
Besides like the tree and you know that sort of stuff, but like we have garland hanging on all the rails inside the railings and along the stairs and up and down and all around and everywhere like that.
My mom wants to do that and then she realizes what for? She's very much cuz no one like
kind of like
people
the,
won't come over. A lot, so it's just kind of like, oh, then I have to take it all down.
That's exactly the way I've been feeling.
It's a hassle.
You know what's funny is like you see all those synchronized Christmas displays, and as cool as they are for like the 3 minutes that they have it set up, all that work goes into that, and then at the end of the year you have to take it all down, put it back into storage.
Well, you hope.
Yeah,
they don't leave it up till February. There's
or over the summer.
It's a great, you just change the music and you're fine. I saw one, I think it was a Prince one. I'm not sure where it was. It might have been in the suburbs around here. But it like plays synchronized Prince songs and stuff to the decorations.
Oh, I've never seen that one.
But it goes on for like 3 hours every day.
It plays for 3 hours?
Yeah, I just imagine the neighbors. I would be so angry.
Can you imagine somebody's like electrical bill?
That's what I always think. I'm like, man, money bags, spending all that electricity.
That's one thing I've always wondered is how much money people probably who have like those synchronized displays probably spend. I mean, like, for example, like at my house, we have the lights up until probably like, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning and then they turn off.
Yeah.
And then that's it. You know, but they go on at like, you know, 6 in the evening. So they're up for, you know, on for 6 or so hours.
Right.
But, you know, having all like the different flashes and then you have the sound effects with it and all that extra
stuff.
Works.
Although I guess if you have enough lights and stuff, you will be you'll go into those competitions and then make some money.
I guess.
And or charge people to look at your house.
That's the other thing. Would you charge people to come to your place?
I don't know how you would do that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Just because you
especially
have to cover
people,
your house.
Well, and then at the same time, people can just, you can't charge people if they're like looking at your house from like the street, you
right?
Because like, they're not on your property.
Exactly. It's like, I'm just walking by. Leave me alone.
I mean, unless you decided to like make a bunch of cookies and like hot chocolate and kind of like sell that on the side,
you
can make that extra side income for that.
It's your own Chris Kindle market.
There you go.
Why go to Wrigleyville? Why go downtown? You have one right in front of you.
Just make a bunch of bratwurst and sauerkraut.
Exactly.
You're good to go.
I'm
pretzels.
Sure there's no permits that you need or anything. That's okay. Actually, here in the studio, we have Tree Time has decorated. And we have half of a Santa hanging out of a chimney, which always cracks me up because they have that every year and it's a little frightening.
See, this is the first time, like, I was in here for training before it was all decorated.
Yeah.
And then I came in like the first week and I was like, this is new.
Put up a couple of decorations.
Well, you have the tree behind you.
Yes.
And then the windows are all decorated in garland. And it looks awesome,
by
the way.
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous, yeah. And then, like you were saying, over here in the corner.
Half a Santa.
And then in the producer's booth where I'm at, there's nothing.
Your imagination.
There's no tree. I just get a little side fridge here and the microwave.
You should put some lights around the side fridge.
Put it around the mic stand here?
On the mic stand, yeah. Some garland. We'll get you the other half of the Santa.
He's peeking up over the window.
Exactly. Oh, that'd be a little creepy. Someone's watching.
It put in the windows facing out to Michigan Avenue.
The other half of Santa?
Yeah.
That would mean he was like a bit dismembered.
Or you could move the whole Santa over there.
Oh, I see. Okay. I just love to think that we are Santa stuck in our chimney. By the way, 32 minutes till Santa flies. I don't know where. I'm curious as to where he starts.
That's what I was just going to say.
Because it doesn't tell you. It's locked.
I think it's the international dateline.
Is it?
Starts, yeah, and then makes it all the way around.
Because you go to the Track Santa thing, and it has a little a picture of a lock on it. They won't tell. It's a secret. So we're watching that for Santa. And we were going to actually talk about holiday traditions they have on, which Google knocked it out of the park. They have a whole website. If you just go to santatracker.google.com, they have one, the Santa Tracker, and then they have all these games you can play and just all these things that move and flashing lights, and it's very adorable. One of them is the holiday traditions around the world, which I thought was super cute, and I love that they do Mexico and Guatemala, because that's where my parents are from. My mom's from Mexico, and my dad's from Guatemala. And my dad always talks about the Guatemalan Christmas. It is crazy. Like, they do fireworks. They're just, and then it's, like, for days. Like, this is New Year's does the same thing. Like, they're shooting off fireworks, and they have food and
I always find that interesting how different cultures celebrate the holidays differently.
Yeah.
I know because my side of the family, my dad's side of the family, Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So I know for example, on Thanksgiving, we have, like, you know, turkey and everything, but, like, the main thing is lasagna.
Oh, yeah.
So that's just, like, something different.
Minnesota,
you know.
Family.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's always just interesting. I mean, that's another thing, too, if people could call in about at some point, is sort of different, unique traditions that they do.
Exactly.
Kind of dating back to their families.
Yeah, I want to know, like, because I would assume people are up right now having to cook whatever grand meal.
Is your family cooking anything right now?
I know my mom, I had called her a few days earlier, because I'm going to go out there today. And she said she's making the filling for tamales. So we make tamales, but it's kind of sometimes she's like, I don't want to deal with it. Because it is a bit of a process. You have to sit there and, like, dough, and you have to make the filling, and then you got to stuff them. And then
find all that extra stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. When I was a kid, it was just her.
Oh.
So now I'm like, I'll help you. It's okay.
Yeah.
But we do tamales and stuff. I know a lot of people... we don't do turkey or anything. It's mainly...
Yeah, that's the one thing... that we do. We don't have turkey or anything either. We have instead beef tenderloin, and we have ham.
Yeah. Come on.
And then and then we have a whole bunch of desserts and stuff too. But my mom always, you know, is doing the cooking. She'll probably do some cooking today, like dessert wise and, you know, a few side dishes and whatnot.
Because I know Thanksgiving, people are up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is WGN 720. 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon. This right next to me, to my right, is Colin Reed. We're in for Dave Plyer until 5 a.m. And in the studio is comedian Peter John Burns.
Hello.
Hi. You wrote an interesting article for the Chicago Reader. Can you tell us... what was it about?
So this was part of the Worst of Chicago.
Right. How did you get into just, do you write for the Reader on a
ironically enough, this was my first piece for the Reader. They had asked me to pitch something last year for Valentine's Day, and then found out I'd been married for close to 25 years. And they're like, yeah, maybe this isn't for you.
Right.
So they came to me and said, you know, Jake, the editor-in-chief of the Reader, sent me an email, said, this is mid-November. We're doing a Worst of Chicago. Would you send us four pitches of topics you might want to do?
Okay.
So I submitted improv, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, O'Hare Airport, and vampires. To be clear, I don't believe vampires exist, but I thought it'd be funny to write an article about
rich, deep vampire culture
in the Windy City. Yeah.
I just thought it'd be funny to, you know, write from the point of view of like a Bridgeport, you know,
Bridgeport vampire.
Like a guy that's like, I got to clean up the vampires. It's terrible. You know, that was funny. Now, I mean, you know, it's a little esoteric. Yeah. And they came back and they said, write about improv. I said, fine. 500 words. I dashed off 500 words in exchange for enough money to buy a good but not great bottle of scotch.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, to give you a sense of, like,
that's,
you know,
quite, yeah.
the the wealth that is rolling in from this engagement. And then I thought, you know, my notion about writing this was to write something somewhat similar to, if people are familiar with the Chicago show Write Club, mm-hmm. where people are given two different topics, you know, up versus down, and you have to write a you know, literary essay about up and deliver it.
Right.
Or there's a comedy show in Chicago called Arguments and Grievances, mm-hmm. where it's Spam versus Ham or Jerry Lee Lewis versus Jerry Lewis. I've done that show a bunch of times. And the notion when you're doing this sort of thing, if you're going to make your case, there's no point in being wishy-washy about it. You go right. in and you punch as hard as you can. And it's a roast set, essentially. It's mm-hmm. not intended to be fair. It's not intended to be nice. And it's not intended to be mealy-mouthed.
Yeah. And I'm amazed by everyone who has come up or commented that it's the worst, you're the worst person ever, how dare you? We love to complain.
Nobody does that on the internet.
No, but I'm just like, I love that they're doing this whole series because it's just complaining. We love Chicagoans as a whole, love to complain about everything.
Yes, well, unfortunately, this is now expanded beyond Chicago, which is something I did not for a moment expect in any real sense. I figured this is a short squib, 500 words is mm-hmm. not, you know, it's a few paragraphs, in the local alternative weekly. And it was sitting in print, in the print version of this, next to a snarky take on Navy Pier and CTA commuters and R. Kelly.
Yeah, there's an entire assortment in the greater context of this larger issue.
Right, and physically you look at it.
Yeah.
And say, oh, yes, this is just one of those, you know, another one of these things that somebody's complaining about.
There's all sorts of bro culture, Trump Tower, like there's all sorts of things.
Right. Yeah. And unfortunately, one unfortunate bit was that it was paired, I think, with a headline that was more provocative, shall I say, than I would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
The title that was put on the article, and in case people aren't aware of this, when you write for a periodical, you don't get to pick the headline mm-hmm. or the pull quotes or the layout. I mean, that's all left to the periodical.
Yeah.
And so the title that they gave this was Why Improv is Neither Funny Nor Entertaining, comma, According to a Stand-Up Comic.
Oh, boy.
Which immediately made it Jets versus Sharks, right? You know, I mean, you could hear the West Side Story music just playing in the background.
Yeah.
Right.
But do you think that's a I mean, is that a thing?
I mean, no, I don't think I think that there is some rivalry, mm-hmm. but especially in the past, I don't know, you know, 5+ years, I think there's less of a marked antipathy than, say, there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
In part because stand-up comedy in Chicago has seen a resurgence so that regular people, civilians, mm-hmm. you know, are aware that it exists so that you can say, I do comedy in Chicago, and the assumption isn't always that you work at Second City.
Right.
Right.
Which used to rankle people in the stand-up community for good. I mean, you know, probably they were a little bit being oversensitive about it, but, mm-hmm. you know, that was certainly a phenomenon. And now there's a more, you know,
an equilibrium, if you will.
Yeah, a little bit more.
A little bit.
You know, but and so I think that there are plenty of performers that have a foot in both worlds now, which wasn't true, say, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think there's more of a detente. There are shows that do a little bit of both. But certainly that headline announced this is someone not of your camp criticizing your camp.
Yeah.
And also, once it was shared around, it was divorced from the context of the page. It was, it wasn't clear that this was a Worst of Chicago article.
Mm-hmm.
It was a standalone article. And unfortunately, for a lot of readers, they interpreted it as not a collection of roast jokes that, you know, were mean, unfair, and occasionally inaccurate for the purposes of humor.
Yeah.
And instead, they interpreted it as some sort of manifesto, as though, you know, I wasn't a guy who had submitted four topics got one picked, cranked out 500 words, you know, carefully. I mean, I did put a little work into it.
Yeah.
But
the article itself is, I have to say, very well written and very, very cutting and biting, but painfully funny.
Well,
and that's subjective. That's one man's opinion.
I was
going
to say that I can point to a host of people who would disagree
yes,
with you.
Yes, and I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will.
And so it became this, I hate to use the word viral because I don't know what level you want to say viral, but it escaped from its cage of being a local article for the Alternative Weekly.
Yeah.
The first day, I'm reading comments on them, you know, and chuckling, you know, yes, some people aren't getting it.
Yeah.
I knew writing these jokes for this piece that some people weren't going to get it and they're going to be mad. My wife said, you're going to make some people mad.
Oh,
and I said,
well, yeah.
And I said, yeah, okay, that's fine.
I mean, specifically, I think one of my favorite lines, improv is why Judd Apatow comedies are a half hour too long and contain an additional hour of outtakes in which performer dudes vaguely grope for a punchline. Not inaccurate, in my opinion.
Well, again, there are people who are furiously commenting that Judd Apatow movies aren't really improv. And that, you know, they're written. I mean, you know,
people can nitpick every line of everything
right.
Well,
and whatever.
This is part of it. Is that there are people that are fact checking a roast, and
right.
That's just that's inappropriate.
Yeah, and meanwhile, if it was a roast, Rickles would already be, you know, three deep into a case of bourbon,
right?
And,
well,
and they're not necessarily going to step to him anyway.
And so the first day, I'm reading little snarky comments, and fine, some of you people aren't getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started looking at the number of shares. And again, to be clear, I was not deliberately, as some have been accusing me of doing, not deliberately creating clickbait. You know, I'm not getting paid one penny more for this. And suddenly I see that it's been shared 1,200 times, 2,000 times. As of tonight, this article, this silly little article that I just wrote to make some mean jokes about improv, has been shared 5,000 times. There are improv groups in Ireland and Australia talking about it. North Carolina is furious.
Oh, is that the big hatred
thing,
contingency? Yeah. We're going to take a break.
Sure.
We'll be back with Peter John Burns. We're going to talk more about this. And then, you know, more about what other stuff you do.
Sure.
The non-hating things. We'll be right back.
Dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
You're listening to 720 WGN. Esmeralda Leon, Colin Reed in for Dave Plyer this Christmas Eve morning. And here in studio we have Peter John Burns talking about his article about improv.
Yeah, as members of my family would be the first to tell you, this is not the first time I've ruined Christmas. So.
Oh, no.
Long-standing and proud family.
That's right, exactly. Me ruining Christmas. Yeah. And now I've ruined it for an entire global community of improvisers. It's been... There has been something very strange in terms of like the criticism I've been getting.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like, attempts to wound me. They've been, and it's funny, there have been enough of them, they've been collected in large buckets, you know, like.
you redistribute those throughout to other, you know.
Yeah, right, exactly. I give them out to all the girls and boys. You know, the big one, probably the number one is like, well, somebody got cut from a Herald team, Herald being the long form improv.
Right.
You know, somebody didn't get into Second City Conserve. And it's like, it's so weird that, like, if I had written this about ballet, if I had picked that as the art form to, you know, poop on, I don't imagine ballet dancers would go, well, you really wanted to do ballet and you couldn't, could you?
But he couldn't pull off a pirouette if life depended on it.
Right.
Have you done improv?
I mean, I took a few classes in college.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to claim I was any great shakes. You know, I also did a lot of binge drinking in college. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was good enough so that the improv teacher cast me in a minor role in a drama department production of Midsummer Night's Dream. I was not a drama major. I was an English major. So I guess I was that good. But I'm a stand-up comedian. Of the art forms that exist, mm-hmm. I'm a stand-up comedian with no aspirations to act,
mm-hmm.
you know, no aspirations to do improv, no aspirations to do sketch. I look like I look, and I pretty much have a emotional range from like A to B. So it's not going to be my thing.
And I love the other titles that you had, or that you decided that you were thinking about writing about. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Right, I would have been equally mean about Ferris Bueller's Day Off, to be clear. It just wouldn't have gone global, I don't think.
Yeah, you wouldn't be getting direct DMs from Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, he would be up in there. We have our host, our overnight host, weekdays, Nick DiGilio, hates that movie. He despises it.
I mean, I legitimately hate Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah. No, he does too. He finds Ferris to be...
He's a sociopath.
Yes. Yeah. I think you guys would get along very well.
He's a sociopath who
it's
thinks
an arguable
that,
point, yeah. yeah. You can argue that.
And we talk about it like it's this great Chicago movie. For Ferris Bueller, the city of Chicago has a southern boundary of the Art Institute. And, you know, it's all north, right? It's the Art Institute. It's Wrigley Field. It's some eatery somewhere in Lincoln Park, and then they drive back to Wilmette in the stolen Porsche.
Right.
So, yeah, he's a bond trader. I mean, that's true.
He's a North Shore, he's a punk North Shore kid,
right?
Essentially.
Right. And the only people of color in that movie are the two Hispanic gentlemen who steal the car,
mm-hmm.
and some African American women who are given no lines or dialogue,
right.
but who get to dance along with Ferris. After he commandeers a float.
Yeah, and that's supposedly our Chicago.
And was not promptly arrested.
Right, everyone thinks he's adorable.
Yeah.
For the one parade...
But he's wearing that vest.
Right. Yeah. For the one parade ever done on a school day. I mean, does anyone know a parade that is regularly done in Chicago closing down streets on a school day?
It's a random Tuesday afternoon.
Right. Right, we just have parades.
It's New Orleans, like second New Orleans.
You make your own parades.
Yeah.
What were the other topics that you had? You had the Ferris?
I had O'Hare.
O'Hare. Well, yeah, that's
terrible. But, you know, I didn't, to be fair, O'Hare is just sort of a burden we all share. I mean, probably in the pitch I wasn't quite as stinging because I'm like, I mean, we endure it, right? It's like racist grandpa at Christmas.
Yeah. And
right.
O'Hare. Right? Midway would be a short article. Why?
Right. Yeah. Well, but actually, if I'm going to be completely honest, I kind of like Midway.
There
it's
you
like,
go.
You know, I can walk, you know, I can get off the L and say, oh, I don't care how heavy my bag is. I know I'm going to be able to make it in those two front doors without any issue.
Fair point. Yeah. Fair point.
And I think there's a Dunkin' Donuts right as you get off. So that's
Vampires.
Like
vampires was my last.
Yeah. Right. The vampires.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know that I would have been particularly mean about vampires because they don't exist.
Right.
Right.
You know. Flying humanoids, though, allegedly.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you have included that humanoid that everyone is... Talking about.
Is this the Mothman?
Yeah.
Is it
and a Mothman? Mothman.
I don't think they've nailed down a
they
specific...
They haven't figured out exactly.
He's very entity fluid, I believe.
I have yet to cover this, in part because although my podcast is current events, mm-hmm. contemporaneous in nature, it tends to be the sort of thing where it's like it's recorded weekly and released quarterly.
Right.
But I have a resident cryptozoologist, local comedian and improviser, because I want to show that I'm a man of the people.
There you go.
Jason Earl Folks, he comes on to talk about Bigfoot, and we'll have him on to talk about
it. Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
That is a deeply fascinating
topic.
Then
your podcast is called?
This Week in Despair.
See, so I don't understand how people just need to do a little back-checking.
Right. I mean, there's actually someone who said, why are people upset that a guy with a podcast called This Week in Despair is negative about things?
Yeah.
And again, it's the worst in Chicago. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't supposed to be fair and balanced articles about Chicago. You know, the article about Navy Pier isn't trying to find the good points.
Right.
Yeah. So what else? What are you doing? What do you have coming up? You have the podcast, This Week in Despair.
I have the podcast, This Week in Despair. I've got a show out in Rockford at,
we go to Rockford, man. We are in 38 states and parts of Canada.
I hit all the hot spots. I actually like going out to Rockford because I can work on longer sets than you normally can in Chicago.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to get some angry improvisers at your show?
Some have threatened.
Really?
To drive to Rockford?
Not to Rockford.
Oh, okay. Oh no.
They're not that dedicated or organized, because that's the nature of improv.
Here's that drum kit we set up.
Bring it up.
I came on here with the notion of, like, I'm going to try and dial things down, and then the old reflexes kick in. Let's ramp it up, though.
Yeah, you can't help it. You just can't help it.
No, I mean, I have a show up in Highwood on January 11th in a wine bar, which is, you know, it'll be a little fancy. Mm. All of these, by the way, mm-hmm. I guess if we're doing plugs, peterburns.com. There's no John in the actual website because it's old. But yeah, Peter Burns, B-Y-R-N-E-S, like Jane Byrne or David Byrne with an S. There's an event calendar you can go and click on and what have you.
If I could ask a fairly, maybe a little bit less lighthearted, do you feel there is an element to this article that kind of touches on a little bit larger issue within, you know, the improv community, and that's to go along with this kind of larger issue of kind of consent and things of nature, and not absent in any community, by the way, just to clarify.
Yeah. I mean, this was another one of the criticisms, which is, yes, I have a joke or two about yes and improv culture being inherently a lack of consent, and perhaps that's part of the reason that there are sexual predators both in and shielded by the institutions of improvisation.
Do you feel that some of the blowback, the direct blowback, is maybe as a defense mechanism to that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Without a doubt, conflating yes and culture and a lack of consent and sexual harassment and assault is probably the biggest trigger in the piece.
Right.
And I guess that's a way of saying, I think even if you understand that this is supposed to be a roast set, even if you understand that these are supposed to be hyperbolically rhetorical jokes, it is still, from my point of view, completely fair if you don't like them. If you're part of the improv community, or even if you're not, they're jokes with teeth. I'm not, you know, I put the teeth in. I'm aware that they're there. But yeah, and I guess what I should also say is there are a lot of comments of, like, you know, isn't he aware of Louis C.K.? Why is he talking about sexual harassment in improv? Again, the snarky knee jerk response is to write back and say, no, Louis C.K.? Did something happen? I didn't know. Obviously I know about Louis C.K. Obviously, right. I've heard about Bill Cosby. If you went to look at my Facebook feed, there are a lot of mean comments about both of them. I write mean jokes. It's kind of what I do. Having said that, I think it's deeply disappointing to me that for so many people, the knee-jerk response is to say, well, what about?
Mm-hmm.
Because... yeah, I'm not making this up. There was an article in BuzzFeed, you know, at the beginning of 2016 about yes and pressuring women into doing things they didn't want to do on stage on the West Coast at West Coast I.O. at West Coast UCB. There was a large article in January of 2016 in our own Chicago Tribune talking about sexual harassment and how yes and culture is pressuring women into doing things on stage that they don't want to do. Stand-up has huge structural and institutional problems around the notion of sexual assault. But improv does too, specifically in that it's so rigidly hierarchical in terms of you have a teacher and you move up levels and so on and so forth. And that's just a structure that's rife for abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened. I didn't make that up.
Yeah.
And I don't think the response should be immediately, well, what about you? I mean, because if you said there's sexual harassment and sexual in stand-up comedy, my immediate response is yes, and we're trying to work on it.
And let's talk about it.
And let's talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Bringing in joy and sunshine just before Christmas. Yeah, I'm
no, but I think do you think you're gonna have to write something else to be like, hey guys, I was not so.
I mean, there's
not
part
so
of me that's
serious about this.
Well, there's part of me that says, look, if you didn't understand that these were jokes, I mean, I understand that there was a context divorce that you didn't understand as part of the Best of Chicago. But part of me also says, there's a legitimate criticism to say that I failed because people don't understand that these are jokes. Mm. You know, straight-faced satire and irony doesn't always play well. And it's fair to say maybe I didn't do a good enough job for people to notice. I also want to say that, like, the piece is the piece.
Yeah.
And it's out there, and at a certain point, I'm not – I mean, what am I going to do? Go on, you know, 5,000 Facebook walls and say, you know, just to be clear, I didn't – it's going to be Christmas. The internet will find something else to hate on Boxing Day, I'm pretty
true.
Sure.
True.
There you go.
This is true.
All right, Peter John Burns, thank you so much. PeterBurns.com.
Yes, and WeCanDespair.com.
WeCanDespair.com. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio and tune in. It's 4:02. Here's Roger Badish. 720 WGN, Esmeralda Leon, Colin Reed.
Barbara.
Babwa. We're in for Dave Plyer this morning until 5 a.m. Hey, Santa's off. He is in Russia.
He is live and delivering packages
apparently,
boys and girls.
He's already delivered 55,000 and counting.
I find it
a little convenient.
He went
I wonder
to
if
Russia
that's
first.
A little ahead of last year.
Yeah, how like does he try? I mean, I would think he has to improve.
I think he tries to beat his personal time every
year.
I think it's like a marathoner
because it would get real boring.
It is a marathon.
He's got to make it a game.
That's true. You got to make it interesting after millennia. You got to make it interesting for yourself.
So, do you think that he has enough fuel?
Well, he's got the horses. The reindeer.
Gee, that's appropriate for you to say. I was going to go, hello. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I know they have the reindeer, but do they have enough fuel for the reindeer to make it all the way through, or do they make a stop somewhere?
I mean, people like you, Roger, that put down carrots.
Yeah, that's true. I
as well as cookies.
Yeah.
I'm sure he gives them a cookie or two. Kind of like go-go juice for them, I assume.
They got yellow jackets. Sugar. They got yellow jackets at truck stops. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Can you imagine he just stops at a truck stop and he's like, hey, guys,
I think anybody that says, oh, my God, I saw Santa down at the Flying J, I don't think anybody's going to believe that guy.
That's true. So he's off. I think he's going west. No, east. No, west. He's going west. So
you need a compass for Christmas.
He's still in Russia, then.
He's still in Russia. Yeah, okay. That was his first. Apparently, according to Google, he arrives here in about 20 and a half hours.
NORAD was the original ones.
The NORAD Santa tracker as well.
I love how they have a live feed as well to the elf enclosure. What is it? Where do they make the presents?
Santa's
the workshop. There you go.
Yeah.
The elf enclosure, you know.
I get you some holiday-themed flashcards.
Right? But Mrs. Claus is taking care of everything. The gifts are... So wait, that seems weird, because wouldn't he have all the gifts already? Is there like a second sleigh that shows up and is like...
I feel like he's got to have... Well, I think you're of two camps. I think you're of the camp that he has a magic bag that he fits all the gifts in.
Right, it's just
a
never-ending...
That's like a bottomless pit. Or that he makes like... He's got like depot stops that he just like picks up more. I think
kinda
that would
like
be
the UPS
like Amazon distribution centers.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
How
yeah.
The post office has those mailboxes that you can't put anything in, but they put mail in them. Is that what he's doing?
Somehow
you've seen those, right? They're just mailboxes, but they don't have slots.
Do you think that any like heavies stuff from Amazon have just showed up at the North Pole? Like, hey, Chris, we got to talk.
oh no,
your market share is cutting into ours.
Really, I would think it'd be the other way around.
Or they want to cut him in. They want to. I would think the more prudent move would be cut him in.
Well, I would think Santa would be mad about it.
They'd want to get his look. They're going to be using drones to deliver this stuff. They want his technology. They want that sleigh
that
technology,
magic bag,
that Tim Allen sleigh technology.
Oh, I think he also has.
Yeah, there you go.
I think he has an
Roger
Instagram.
Knows what's
up. Give it more power.
There you go. Yeah,
is that how it works?
Yeah,
he just.
Do we all remember when that was a show? Let's all just fondly remember.
What, Tool Time?
Yeah.
Or, Wilson. Home Improvement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he also has an Instagram. This just in, feeling energized after those cookies and milk. Oh,
wow.
Santa.
How depressing would it be if you learned later on that Santa was lactose intolerant?
Yeah, oh, really. No.
How depressing would that be?
And
like it's like don't meet your heroes.
So big from all those cookies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
But then he works it off. how on is Christmas
he,
Island.
How is he not the spokesperson for like an insulin? That's my question. No.
Yeah. Well, we have a
Weight Watchers.
Like pharmaceutical advertising is huge. I'm just surprised.
He, you know what? He doesn't want to go corporate.
It's a whole revenue stream that
he's
got to
go corporate on the sleigh.
Just yeah. Like logos. Yeah. Yeah, logos.
There you go.
That's shocking. But that hasn't happened yet.
Come on.
You can see the logos on the reindeer.
Yeah. Just a big Rent Depot Rudolph. On the front of that thing.
Just things dangling from their antlers.
Yeah.
Oh. Come on, guys.
Pandora bracelets.
Let's not corporatize Christmas.
Why not? It already has been.
Yeah. Jeez. Let's merge all of it together.
Yeah,
we got to keep it simple.
Yes.
Santa and those reindeer. 131 gifts delivered, guys.
131,000?
Yes. 131,000.
143. NORAD has frozen here. It's stuck on last season.
Well, they're also trying to make sure missiles don't have. Just to be clear.
Apparently, in this live feed, I think he's also I think he got stopped by the cops.
What?
Because he's going very fast.
Oh, so maybe he's trying to outrun them.
There's probably intergalactic cops.
Yeah, seriously?
Airspace cops? I don't know.
Now we're just back into sci-fi again.
Yeah, really. He's not a magical figure at all. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about movies. Christmas movies.
And if you have any favorites, call in, text away.
312-981-7200. We'll be right back after this. 720 WGN, Esmeralda Leon, Colin Reed to my right. We're in for Dave Plyer this morning until 5 a.m. Christmas movies. I don't know what you do.
That song leading us in, of course, from a holiday classic known as Die Hard.
Yes.
Or what would be considered a Christmas adjacent movie, not being about holiday.
Oh, I see.
So taking place during the holiday, which is let's be fair. Die Hard is I'd like to hear, you know.
I think, the general consensus is that it is a Christmas movie.
I think that's the populist view of it. I think you should love Die Hard for whatever reason you love Die Hard.
Right.
I think there is also, if you're looking for Last Minute Gifts, there is an adult coloring book.
Oh, yeah.
Die Hard coloring book. So no, you should go and pick that.
It's a story.
It's a storybook that you color.
Oh, okay.
That's the story of Die Hard. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is great. But no, I think there is an article in Vulture that cite Christmas adjacent movies that aren't Die Hard, as great as Die Hard is.
Right. What are some of them?
Some of them being L.A. Confidential, which is
during
an excellent
Christmas
film.
Time.
During Christmas time, because around the same time of year, many of the women that I think are waiting. I'm trying to think. I'm blaming Kim Basinger, of course, wearing seasonal specific things.
Didn't Peterson from Chicago, the actor, I forgot what his first name. Wasn't he in L.A. Confidential?
Peterson.
Bud Peterson. There's a character name.
No, not Bud Peterson. Or I'm thinking of.
There's a character name.
Russell Crowe's in it.
Russell Crowe, Guy Pearce, James Cromwell.
Different. I'm thinking of something different.
Yeah. Okay. We've also got one of my personal, also in the action vein of Die Hard, one of my personal favorites, The Long Kiss Goodnight.
I love that movie.
Shane Black for everything. And Gina Davis is that. If you have not seen A Long Kiss Goodnight, I'm not saying get around with your family. If you have small children and watch it, watch that film.
It is a great movie, though.
Yeah.
What else do we got here?
We've got some classic ones. We've got The Apartment,
mm-hmm.
Billy Wilder's film. We've got Cover Up, which I have not heard of, but it's a noir that is quite intriguing and engaging. Batman Returns.
Which one is that?
That is the second one.
I love it. Wait.
As someone, no, let's briefly tangentially get into this because this bumps up to you see films at you see sequels.
Yeah, I usually
without
see the
seeing
first.
The originals.
And then you confluate, right? But it's more of a just because it just happened.
Like it's on TV
it's
and
on
she'll
TV
watch
TV
it.
And I watched it.
But then she's never sought out. But then in the rest of her life,
right.
She's never sought out the original.
Right. So like
she just figured, all right, I know.
I've seen the second draft.
Premise. Yeah, I know the premise. I'm good. It's Batman. He battles the bad guys.
Yeah.
Right. And then
is that how you do it?
Well,
then you get questions like, which one is that one?
Yeah. No, it's more of a thing of so like Short Circuit.
Right.
Oh, I've only seen Short Circuit 2.
Well, that's the crappy one.
And I actually...
Thank you.
Whatever. I watched that and enjoyed it many a time. I thought that was the first one.
Yeah. No, first one way
better. That's like saying Staying Alive is better than like Saturday Night Fever. So just, you know.
Well, Staying Alive, please. Yuck.
That's what I'm saying.
And now I strut.
No, they're... Yeah, strut. Exactly.
No, Batman Returns is Penguin and Catwoman.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
Michelle Pfeiffer, yeah. Indelible as Catwoman.
Ugh. Yeah, the only Catwoman in the movie.
I think many actresses have done a great job with Catwoman.
No, they have TV-wise.
Eartha Kitt, Anne Hathaway. I think many have done a great job.
Oh, that's right. There was that one.
But
Halle Berry Catwoman.
But come on, you can't.
Awful.
That's all the difference. You know, the snow scenes. It's indelible with Gotham. Of course, Chicago right. being kind of a stand-in in multiple franchises for Gotham.
Well, and it's the Tim Burton ones.
Yeah,
which are always
the last of the Tim Burton ones. Yeah,
another one, Gremlins.
Gremlins is a Christmas, not being a straight up Christmas.
Oh, is it a straight up Christmas?
I would call that a Christmas movie because again, it's taking place. During Christmas, and there's a heavy emphasis on Christmas.
Okay. Again, I've
have
seen
not
the second
seen
one.
Gremlins.
I've you, only seen the second yeah. one, which Gremlins, is great. Where which they're is, in the they're in the big like the news studio or whatever.
They're in a
it's
a
the channel.
It's a media building.
Yeah, and then
which
all
we're
the,
in now. Which
right?
Yeah,
and then so all the any, Gremlins come out, and then there's right. all the different kinds of Gremlins.
Also, here pitch for this too. If you have not seen the Key and Peele sketch about the pitch meeting for the Gremlins 2, watch
amazing.
That immediately.
It is hilarious.
But yeah, many different, of course, Christmas traditional Christmas movies as well. There's a number of them on Netflix that are available to watch that are great.
Yeah, my go-to, A Christmas Story.
Yeah,
I'm sure TBS is doing the 24-hour.
There, I think NBC is going to be doing the live version. Oh, they did it. Oh, see, I'm behind the times.
They already did it.
It got horrible reviews.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I heard some people. I heard mixed.
It had a cast that I really enjoyed. So that's
right,
a shame.
But you know.
You know. Well, live, it's hit and miss. I did enjoy that Netflix. There's apparently a Hallmark movie called A Christmas Prince that Netflix on their social media called out that it was like to the 30 or the, you know, the 18 viewers that have watched A Christmas Prince like 32 times in the last 8 days, who hurt you? I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Wasn't there another one that watched the B movie? Like,
yeah,
66
something.
Times.
Yeah, because they have access to all these analytics. Yeah. So,
wow.
And these viewers,
people have so much time on their hands these
days. I know.
Days.
It's, well, but it's incredible what that reveals about people hyper specifically in those cases.
Oh, someone says 224, Scott from Lyle says Lethal Weapon 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The Lethal Weapon.
Christmas. Yes.
They always had the theme of Christmas, I believe, with the exception of maybe 4 or 3. I don't know. The first two are definitely. Oh, no. The second one's about just the guys from South Africa. Doesn't take place around Christmas time.
Again, I haven't seen the second.
May I make a recommendation?
What's that?
Now we get, yeah.
A friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Has written a book that was turned into a Hallmark Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. It's called The Carpenter's Miracle.
Okay.
By Judd Parkin. I went to high school with him.
On Hallmark? Now?
Yeah. Yeah. And they made it into a movie.
You know, I bet you. Have you seen, we have a podcast in the WGN Plus podcast, Pete Zimmerman, the producer of Justin Kaufman Show, him and his wife. Run down Hallmark movies.
Oh, really?
Hallmark Christmas movies because they love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yeah. Such a hyper specific niche.
I know, but you know, 'tis the season.
Yeah, but no, there's a lot of great Christmas movies. I mean, and again, let us know your guys' favorites. Whatever, anybody. A couple of mine on these lists. Mm-hmm. The Ref is an underrated.
That is a Nick DiGilio favorite.
Number one.
Yeah, he loves that. 312 says Trains, Planes, Automobiles.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yes,
those aren't pillows.
Anybody? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Is there a sequel that I may have seen? I mean,
it's called Monorails, Ferris Wheels, and Go-Karts.
You can't get anywhere on a Ferris wheel.
While You're Sleeping, which is of course set in Chicago.
Yes.
This is a classic, or modern classic, in my opinion.
Home Alone.
Yes.
Oh. Chicago 2.
Yep. I have very, you know.
Did you see the second one, and you still haven't seen the original first one
You know
yet?
What? I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the other ones.
Shocking. Oh, okay. There you go.
There are like 15 twist, of them now.
A twist. You know, that's an M. Night Shyamalan-like twist.
Yeah. I have very many facets.
Many fond memories of driving out to Wilmette and driving past the, as we called it, the Home Alone church. Where he hides in the nativity.
What about the house?
We never found the house. We tried. I know there's an address. We didn't have the wherewithal to look it up.
We were
super smart.
I believe it was up for sale recently.
It was, as was John Hughes' home as well.
His proper home?
To touch back on Ferris, his proper home. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
But yeah. But no, tons of great Christmas movies throughout Netflix. One that I didn't know, I'm curious. A Christmas Horror Story.
I mean, horror needs one.
Well, no, but I've heard, you know, like there's been Krampus, and there's, there's the horror series, I believe, it's like Jack Frost. There's Jack Frost, but not the Michael Keaton family-friendly one. They made like 18 of those, I think. The serial killing snowman.
Right.
Which has its own cheesy value, but no.
doesn't he have sticks for arms?
William Shatner is in this one.
Oh.
Yeah. And it is as a character called Dangerous Dan.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. It's a Christmas horror, but it's a Christmas horror short.
Is that one on Netflix?
It is on Netflix, yes.
Oh, we'll have
to
check it out.
Check that out for
Can
your
Can I send
Christmas
one more to you?
Yeah.
This one was on TV many, many moons ago and was unavailable for quite some time. I'm not sure if it was copywriting issues or whatever, but a couple of years ago finally was on DVD, and you can find most of it on YouTube now. Emmett Otter's Jug Band.
Wow.
Yes. Those otters are adorable. Yes. No, it's from the Jim Henson Company.
Did exactly. Memories like just start flooding?
And it has some of the most beautiful music written by Paul Williams and performed. Actually, one of the songs was sung at Jim Henson's funeral.
Oh, you know? No.
And just wrenches right at your heart and makes you feel so good. And it's just a great story.
Yeah.
Oh, I think they did some weeks ago at the Hideout. A group did all the songs.
From the
Emmett Otter. It was like a kid's thing. You know, you can bring your whole family.
Yeah.
We've got one from the 312. They had a couple weeks ago an opportunity to see the Polar Express and IMAX and Navy Pier, which would be...
Is that with Tom Hanks? That
and, yeah, the CG. And anything... I know I kind of ripped on CG Tom
Hanks. In fact, we just...
Earlier,
that was last night's What's That From?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, the Polar Express?
Yeah, we did a very, very short...
I was going to say there's words in it?
Yes.
I thought it was all visuals.
No, it's actors.
It's very striking visuals, but no, it's a whole film.
Oh, what am I thinking of? There's some movie where it's Christmas or whatever, and it's just all silent.
I don't know. Is it a silent? Is it a film
specific.
From the silent film era about Christmas?
No, it was like an animated deal of that.
This is animated, but
it looks kind of like that, but it's all silent. It's music and
no, I don't know. If anybody knows what Esmeralda's talking about,
312-981-7200. No. It might have been something with trains.
There's no gold at the end of this rainbow, just to be clear. There's no pot of gold. I can assure you both.
Even when you tell me, I'll go, I don't know. Yeah. I guess.
Must not be that well known. I don't know it.
All right. We're going to go to news. Right now, it is 4:30. Here is Roger Badish.
Alfred Williams of Dalton's accused of putting a gun to the head of an 11-year-old boy during the robbery of a Harvey barbershop happened in the 1000 block of East 147th. Police say Williams was the first of three bandits to enter the shop and announce the robbery, quickly grabbed the young son of one of the barbers, put a gun to his head. Another person inside the shop grabbed the boy away, shielded the boy and other young children who were there with his own body. Federal judge in Seattle has partially lifted a Trump administration ban on certain refugees. U.S. District Judge James Robart ruled for the American Civil Liberties Union and the Jewish Family Service after they urged him to halt the ban on refugees from some mostly Muslim countries. 49-year-old man riding a bicycle disregarded warning signals was killed when a Metra Electric train hit him in the South Shore neighborhood on Saturday night. Happened near the 7100 block South East End Avenue. He was pronounced dead at the scene. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
This message, sponsored by the Radio Broadcasters of Chicagoland.
I'm Diana Sykes, Senior Vice President of Art Van Furniture. In 2014, when Art Van Furniture was considering coming into Chicagoland, it's such a competitive marketplace that we naturally had to explore all the options for how we could build our relationship effectively and efficiently. And radio was at the top of that list for us. It's personal, it's daily, and we could tell our story really in an evolving way on radio, and that's hard to do in other medias. Radio has such broad reach and such great frequency. One of the best things about radio is it's a personal conversation. And I almost think that the people you listen to on the radio, especially in the morning, become your best friends. We use radio to help the marketplace really understand who Art Van is as a company and where our company values lie. In just 3 short years, Art Van Furniture has become Chicagoland's favorite furniture store. And radio was instrumental in helping us introduce ourselves and create lasting relationships.
The Radio Broadcasters of Chicagoland wish to thank Diana Sykes of Art Van Furniture.
WTN Sports, your New Jersey Devils beating your Blackhawks 4-1 yesterday. Hawks take a few days off. They will be on the road in Vancouver on Thursday. NBA Boston over the Bulls 117-92. College basketball yesterday. Lots of games. Three of them we were watching for you. Illinois, UIC, Illinois State, all winners. We've got pro football today. Bears at Soldier Field at noon hosting Cleveland. And then Hamp and Obie with Cause postgame program at 3 o'clock right here on 720 WGN and WGNradio.com. Checking WGN traffic, we're not seeing any delays on the area expressways, tollways, or highways right now. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Your forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. We've got a winter weather advisory starting at 4 o'clock this morning until about 6 o'clock tonight. We're looking at the WGN-TV weather radar, which you can get through our website, also at WGNradio.com. And we've got snow coming in to the area right now. It's covering Pontiac and Princeton, heading towards Peru. Also some snow now in Freeport and snow in Lafayette, Indiana. So it is approaching us, and it will be with us for some time. It is also for DeKalb, Ford, Grundy, Iroquois, Kankakee, Kendall, LaSalle, Lee, Livingston, Cook, DuPage, Will, and Kane counties for that winter weather advisory. Winter storm warning from 6 this morning until 6 tonight in Lake, Benton, Jasper, Newton, and Porter counties in Indiana. We could get anywhere from 3 to 5 inches of snow, more along the Indiana side. Very windy with gusts up to 20 miles an hour, so a lot of blowing snow, making for extremely hazardous driving today. High near 26. Snow should end by about 7 o'clock tonight, and then becoming partly cloudy, windy, overnight low around 18. Your Christmas Day, snow on the ground, presents under the tree, mostly sunny, windy, a high near 24. Temperatures around the area right now, 20 at O'Hare, 22 at Midway and Midlothian, 23 along the lakefront, Lake Michigan water temperature at 36, winds out of the north at 8 with a wind chill of 13. Get Chicago news first, the top of every hour. I'm Roger Badish on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Ask not. The Beatles. Those circuses on the air.
The president does it.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in 6 seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Okay, this day in history, December 24th, 2017. 1870, Christmas becomes a federal holiday. Christmas is both a sacred religious holiday and a worldwide cultural and commercial phenomenon. For two millennia, people around the world have been observing it with traditions and practices that are both religious and secular in nature. So Christians celebrate Christmas Day as the anniversary of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, a spiritual leader whose teachings form the basis of the religion. Popular customs include exchanging gifts, decorating Christmas trees, sharing meals with family and friends, and of course, waiting for Santa Claus to arrive in about 20 and a half hours. December 25th, Christmas Day, has been a federal holiday in the U.S. since 1870. So here's some trivia, Colin.
Yeah, each year approximately 30 to 35 million real Christmas trees are sold in the United States alone. And there are 21,000 Christmas tree growers in the U.S. The trees usually grow for about 15 years before they're sold.
That's crazy. Yeah. I didn't know that there were farms.
And in the Greek and Russian Orthodox churches, Christmas is celebrated 13 days after the 25th, which is also referred to as the Epiphany or Three Kings Day.
See, Mexican Catholicism, they do that too, the Three Kings.
In the Middle Ages, Christmas celebrations were rowdy, much like Mardi Gras parties.
So, they still are in some places.
Yeah, so if you want to get a hurricane, feel free today. From 1659 to 1681, the celebration of Christmas was outlawed in Boston, my town of my birth. And lawbreakers were fined 5 whole shillings.
Oh, there we go. The eggnog. First eggnog made in the United States was consumed in Captain John Smith's 1607 Jamestown settlement.
Yes, probably given to him by Pocahontas.
Yeah, the eggnog that she made.
Yeah, it's good.
Poinsettia plants. We were talking about this earlier. You'd never really seen them.
They look fake up close.
Poinsettia plants are named after Joel R. Poinsett, an American minister to Mexico who brought the red and green plant from Mexico to America in 1828.
All right. And Rudolph, the most famous reindeer of all, was the product of Robert L. May's imagination. Created in 1939, he was a copywriter who wrote a poem about the reindeer to help lure customers to Montgomery Ward Department Store.
Isn't that a bummer?
So marketing works, kids.
I thought
marketing
it was like
works.
Just a thing that someone came up with, some author, and they're like, no, Montgomery Ward. It's like, what? Oh. Yeah. Speaking of department stores.
Where holiday dreams come true. Discover a Christmas fantasy at Marshall Fields. For over 130 years, we've taken your holiday wishes and translated them into treasures from afar. Glorious gifts and all the magic that is Christmas at Marshall Fields. Come, explore our wonderland of Yuletide shops. Register to win a trip for two to Germany on American Airlines and indulge in the joys of a Christmas rich in tradition. Marshall Fields and Christmas, where you'll find your dreams.
Oh, I miss Marshall Fields. We were a huge Marshall Fields family. So 1905, Marshall Fields and the Great Tree. The world-famous Walnut Room was the first restaurant ever opened in a department store, still there, with Circassian wood paneling imported from Russia and Austrian chandeliers.
The accent really sells it.
Does it sound like...
It does. You sound... Good. Yeah, you sound like Anastasia.
The 17,000 square foot dining room is both elegant and comfortable, conveniently located in the heart of the Chicago Theater District. The Walnut Room is an excellent choice to take a break from shopping or for a meal and a glass of wine before the show. First appearance of the Great Tree for Christmas began in 1907. Have you ever been?
To the Walnut Room?
Yeah.
No, I'm not that fancy.
Oh.
But I still have a tie of my late grandfather's that is quite fresh. It's from Marshall Field and Company.
Oh.
And I treasured very highly.
Curtis, did you ever get a chance?
I went there once. Oh, man. Probably 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay. I mean, it wasn't...
What about the Circassian wood?
No, like the wood and stuff was great. And
the Austrian chandelier.
Also being brought there by like your parents.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, come on, guys.
And
like,
we're eating in the middle of a shopping store and when you're, you know, 12 years old.
Among the mattresses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's stuff that, you know, a 12, 13-year-old kid wants to go see and do, not sit and stare at a big tree in the middle of my parents' favorite department store. But in hindsight, it's pretty cool. And
like,
how they light up the tree every year. And
yeah.
I know one of my good friends from my hometown, his mom's been battling leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
And he recently just took his mom to the Walnut Room, actually literally just this past week. And she's never been. So that was cool for them to go see.
That's
and to
really
kind of,
sweet.
Yeah, just to spend some time with that. So.
Yeah. All right. The 1914 was the Christmas truce. Just after midnight on Christmas morning, the majority of German troops engaged in World War One cease firing their guns and artillery and firing their guns and artillery and commenced to sing Christmas carols. At certain points along the eastern and western fronts, the soldiers of Russia, France, and Britain even heard brass bands joining the Germans in their joyous singing. I don't know what you're saying, Colin.
Yeah. So at the first light of dawn.
He's trying to be real famous. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying.
The first light of dawn, many German soldiers emerged from their trenches and approached the Allied lines in a no man's land, calling out Merry Christmas in their enemies' native tongues. I never knew this. At first, the Allied soldiers thought it was a trick, but seeing the Germans were armed, they climbed out of their trenches and shook hands with the enemy soldiers. The men exchanged presents and cigarettes and plum... There you go. Cigarettes, the currency of any war. Plum puddings and sang carols and songs. There was even a documented case of soldiers from opposing sides playing a good-natured game of soccer.
Wow.
As we call it here. Or football.
Football.
Yes.
The so-called Christmas Truce of 1914 came only 5 months after the outbreak of war in Europe and was one of the last examples of the outdated notion of chivalry between enemies and warfare. In 1915, the bloody conflict of World War One erupted in all its technological fury, and the concept of another Christmas truce became unthinkable. That's really depressing.
No, it's kind of nice, actually.
It's
to
nice.
Think there was that. There's at least a last moment of civility there.
I know that they've done that, or they had done it when Civil War.
It's the last gentleman's war.
Right. I knew. I remember hearing that they would do it in the Civil War. They would let people go get their the soldiers who had died on the field, and there was like a day, like they would just stop.
Right.
And everyone would...
Not specific to a holiday, though. It was like, oh, it's Arbor Day.
No, it was the Civil War.
Right.
So they were doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
The Radio City Music Hall opened in 1932 at the height of the Great Depression. Thousands turned out for the opening. Magnificent Art Deco Theater in New York City, Radio City Music Hall. It was designed as a palace for the people, a place of beauty where ordinary people could see high-quality entertainment. Since its opening in 1932, more than 300 million people have gone to Radio City to enjoy movies, stage shows, concerts, and special events.
Very nice. Have you ever been? I've never been.
I've never been to New York.
Oh,
so no,
that's
I have
right.
not.
You plebeian.
Yes. Wow. Thanks for working on that.
Curtis,
I've
you?
Never been either. Never been to New York. Wanting to go to the East Coast. Just
you have been as and you do not like it there.
I'm not a fan of New York.
Yeah.
It's grown on me slightly as the trips that I've
yes.
made.
Yes. You've had more well-rounded experiences there.
Yeah.
But you were much like, again, Homer Simpson on his initial trip to New York. You were not a fan.
Yeah, not the biggest fan.
Yeah.
So Radio City Music Hall was the brainchild of the billionaire John D. Rockefeller Jr., who decided to make the theater the cornerstone of the Rockefeller complex he was building in a formerly derelict neighborhood in Midtown Manhattan. Who is in there now? Was it Letterman? No, right?
No, that's the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Oh, okay. I know they do, or they used to do, the MTV Music Awards.
There you go. Another pillar, another cornerstone of American cultural institution.
That's what I remember.
There you go.
So the theater was built in partnership with the Radio Corporation of America, RCA, and designed by Donald Deske. The result was an Art Deco masterpiece of elegance and grace constructed out of a diverse variety of materials, including aluminum, gold foil, marble, Permatex, all right, glass, and cork. Interesting.
Well.
The famous great stage measuring 60 feet wide and 100 feet long resembles a setting sun. Oh. Its sophisticated system of hydraulic-powered elevators allowed spectacular effects in staging, and many of its original mechanisms are still in use today.
And more recently, in 1999, it underwent a seven-month, $70 million restoration, and it remains the largest indoor theater in the world.
Oh, my.
It's interesting.
All right, we're going to take a break. And then we will be back with more This Day in History.
Echo.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
Flips it to the line. Take it
cold winter nights. 50,000 watts of power. On a country road in Manitoba. Or heading home from practice in Minnesota. A young hockey player wants what I have. He listens and he dreams. The kid listening to Faraway Hockey on the radio has one goal. And so do I. I'm Patrick Sharp. My team is the Chicago Blackhawks.
Patrick Sharp with his fifth goal in three games!
The Blackhawks play here in the 720 WGN Chicago.
We're out to holidays you.
Service to a green tea.
Hi, this is Tonya Khoury of Green Tea Services. With family and friends over for the holidays, you want your floors as clean as they can be. So we have a gift that will even make Santa jealous. Green Tea Services will come to your home before the holidays and give your carpets, tile, and hardwood floors a clean they've never seen for 50% off. Our gift to you, we'll pay 50% of your green tea carpet, tile, and hardwood floor cleaning. Call our Green Tea Crews with the green letter T on top of our trucks.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
For details, call Green Tea Services now and get your carpet, tile, and hardwood floors deep cleaned before the holidays for 50% off. Our gift to you. And don't forget our 100% satisfaction green tea guarantee. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green Tea Services. Service to a
green tea.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com.
Chicago's most accurate forecast.
Get the word out and get it out fast.
From Tom Skilling and the WGN Chicago Weather Center team.
Tom Skilling from the WGN Weather Center.
Today on 720 WGN.
Do you struggle getting deep, restful sleep? Think about it. When was the last time you replaced your pillow? Your tossing and turning may be a result of that flat, worn-out pillow you've been sleeping on for years. Try a MyPillow and join the millions of people who are getting the best sleep of their lives. And you can try one out absolutely risk-free. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-299-9579. MyPillow is offering their signature four-pack special at 50% off. Just use promo code WGN at checkout and they'll even throw in free shipping. And on top of a 10-year warranty, MyPillow is so confident you'll love your new pillow, they'll give you a 60-night money-back guarantee. Sleep on it, and if you don't believe it's the absolute best pillow out there, return it for a full refund. Try MyPillow. See why customers have described them as life-changing. Call 800-299-9579 or log on to MyPillow.com. Use promo code WGN.
Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away.
720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon. Next to me is Colin Reed. We're here in for Dave Plyer until 10 minutes or so, until 5 a.m. That was a local guy, Daniel Knox, with his cover of Last Christmas.
It's a good rendition of that.
Yeah, I love that guy. He's a great pianist as well.
Yeah, has that kind of, you know, bluesy, jazzy, boozy kind of delivery.
Yes.
I'm just saying. I enjoy the quality, tone, and tenor of his song making.
Yes. And speaking of another song, this day in history, I'm just going to make songs up now. So White Christmas, written by the formidable composer and lyricist Irving Berlin, receives its world premiere on this day in 1941 on Bing Crosby's weekly NBC radio program, The Kraft Music Hall. It went on to become one of the most commercially successful singles of all time and the top-selling single ever until being surpassed by Elton John's Candle in the Wind, 1997.
Oh, that is a good song.
Which one?
Candle in the Wind. Both are quite good.
Yes.
White Christmas, it took its first steps towards becoming a bedrock standard in the American songbook when Crosby first performed it publicly on Christmas Day in 1941. The song's success couldn't have surprised Berlin, who, despite having already written such songs as Alexander's ragtime band Cheek to Cheek and God Bless America, had raced into his Manhattan office in January 1940 and asked his musical secretary to transcribe the quote-unquote, the best song I ever wrote.
Wow.
The best song anybody ever wrote.
Wow.
It's a bold claim. It was nearly 2 years later, however, that Crosby finally premiered the song on live radio. And a year after that, Crosby's recording of White Christmas became a smash pop hit, which is when most things become solidified in notoriety in history after it's a hit.
Crosby's October 1942 recording of White Christmas received heavy airplay on Armed Forces radio as well as on commercial radio during its first Christmas season, becoming an instant number one pop hit. It also returned to the Hit Parade pop chart in every subsequent Christmas season for the next 20 years. I'd be curious to see where it lands now.
Somewhere behind Mariah Carey.
Yeah, actually, probably. Unlike other perennial holiday hits, however, White Christmas strikes a mood that isn't necessarily jolly. As Jody Rosen, author of the 2002 book White Christmas, The Story of an American Song, she told National Public Radio, "It's very melancholy, and I think this really makes it stand out amongst kind of chirpy seasonal standards like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Let It Snow. I think that's one of the reasons why people keep responding to it, because of our feelings over the holiday season are ambivalent."
Yeah, this was certainly true of the immigrant Russian-Jewish songwriter Irving Berlin. Though he did not celebrate Christmas, it was a day that held special meaning to Berlin, who had spent each Christmas day visiting the grave of his late son, Irving Berlin Jr., who died at just 3 weeks old on December 25th, 1928. As Jody Rosen has suggested about a beloved song of great emotional complexity, the kind of deep secret of White Christmas may be that it was that Berlin was responding in some way to the melancholy about the death of his son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's real deep.
It's real cheerful.
All right. Wow. Well, 1972, we get a little happier. Bob Hope entertaining the troops.
From Tanzanut and Saigon, on K. Zion, Da Nang, Benoit, Nha Trang, Chu Lai, and Cameron Bay in Vietnam. From Guam and Wake Island, from Clark Field in the Philippines, from Don Juan, Korat, Udorn, Tak Li, Yuban, and Bangkok, Thailand. And from the USS Ticonderoga in the South China Sea. The Bob Hope Christmas Special, starring Jack Jones, Joey Heatherton, Kay Stevens, Anita Bryant, Jerry Colonna, the Nicholas Brothers, Miss USA Diana Lynn Batts, Peter Leeds, Les Brown and his band of renown, and special guest star Carol Baker.
I'll say one thing for the Defense Department. They certainly give you a great going away party. It's where they send you. That's the problem. It's a long haul to Bangkok, halfway around the world. 22 hours by air from the time our flight commander, Major Bob Kastner, lifted our big C-141 off the runway at L.A. International. But we have plenty to keep us busy. Rehearsals, radio broadcast to the guys stationed on Midway Island, and a fast impromptu show on Wake Island while they refueled our plane. It was 2 o'clock in the morning when we touched down in Bangkok, but Major General Stilwell, the boss man of our military in Thailand, was there to greet us. 6 hours later, here's the general introducing us at Udorn, a remote air base in North Thailand.
Thank you, General Stilwell.
This is a lovely little ranch, huh?
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here, ladies and gentlemen. We're in Udorn, Thailand, formerly Siam. Famous the world over for its twins, temples, and as the scene of that great movie, What's New Pussycat?
Comedian Bob Hope gives what he says is his last Christmas show to U.S. servicemen in Saigon. Hope was a comedian and a star of stage, radio, television, and over 50 feature films. Hope is one of many Hollywood stars who followed the tradition of traveling overseas to entertain American troops stationed abroad. The 1972 show marked Hope's ninth consecutive Christmas appearance in Vietnam. Hope endorsed President Nixon's bombing of North Vietnam to force it to accept U.S. peace terms and received South Vietnam's highest civilian medal for his anti-communist zeal. Although some anti-war protesters criticized Hope for supporting government policies in Vietnam, the comedian said he believed it was his responsibility to lift spirits by entertaining the troops.
And he swung a mean golf club.
He did. He did. And that was This Is History, December 24th. Wow. I didn't know all that stuff happened.
All in one day.
Right? Yeah. One
over the
day.
Span of many years.
Yeah. Yes. One day. It was crazy. That was Wow.
This is very fascinating.
I love the Marshall Fields thing.
Yeah, I have a soft spot for that, personally. Right. I do miss Marshall.
I'm glad they keep the Windows tradition.
Yeah. For sure.
Because I remember when the transfer from Marshall Fields to Macy was happening. Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of people, like local Chicagoans, were kind of worried. Are they going to stop the Windows? Because that's, mm-hmm. Like a tradition. I brought my grandkids, great-grandkids. Now their kids are coming, all that extra stuff. They've kept it going, so props to Macy's, for a New York company, for keeping that Chicago tradition
for sure.
going.
Yeah.
And they seem to have kept a lot of the kind of holiday sensibility around that stuff. And they keep, I think it's a national name, but they keep the nameplate up there as well, which is nice.
Yes, and the clocks and all that kind of stuff. I'm glad, because I thought they were going to just raise the fields. Yeah.
Just to briefly check in on this day, Santa right now.
Oh, yes.
Is in New Zealand.
Oh, boy. All the little boys
and
girls.
Getting all those toys and treats, them Kiwis.
Are they Kiwis?
They are called Kiwis.
Are those Australians?
No, Kiwis are New Zealanders.
Oh, all right.
Unless I'm getting that wrong, and I've offended a terrible
entire New Zealand contingency.
Group of people.
Oh, gosh. Well, we are almost done here. Thank you so much, Colin, for coming in and hosting with me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure and a joy, as always.
Oh, thank
joy
you.
To the world, one might say. Oh, wow. Yep, all just right. Shoehorning it all in there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Curtis, for producing. Are you working?
I'm working all this week. I'll be back here morning of the 26th, mm-hmm. and then I'm here all the way until New Year's Eve.
Oh, man.
Doing a lot of overnight stuff. So if you're a late night listener, a night owl, you will probably hear my producing work throughout I think actually I'm helping you with the download.
Yes.
Later on this week.
Yeah.
Earlier this week.
Yeah, me and John Hansen are hosting 7 to 11 on the 26th and the 27th. And so that's going to be fun. We're going to have some music. I know the 26th, a great chorus is going to come in. And we're going to have a bunch of other stuff. And I'll be here doing my regular 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. gig of traffic as well. So we're all working this holiday. Mr. Dave Schwann. How are you this fine morning?
I'm well. Merry Christmas to you and everybody else that's listening.
Merry Christmas back to you.
Best
Christmas
listeners in the world.
Oh, of course. And thank you for the card.
Oh,
Dave Schwann gave me a
sneeze.
Card.
Me too.
That's okay. He was so polite. He gave me a card. I got him nothing.
I'm just like Charlie Brown.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, I took the MeTV quiz. Which have you seen these? The MeTV channel?
Are you Charlie Brown?
I was Charlie Brown.
Oh, that makes you Lucy.
Is it great? I'll be up there to get rid of that football for you.
There was a quiz on their website, and it said, which classic Christmas cartoon character are you? And you go through, you answer a list of questions, and there's an algorithm, apparently, that compiles your answers, and it gives you, you could be the Grinch, you could be Charlie Brown, mm-hmm. you could be, whomever, Hard Rock, Coco, or Joe.
But
I was Charlie Brown.
Oh.
Which would you want to be, Esmeralda?
The Grinch.
Really?
You want to be the Grinch?
That is thematically appropriate.
That guy is just mad because he just hates people. He didn't really hate Chris. He just hated the people dealing with
him. So you feel a kinship is what
I
you're
do.
Saying.
Yeah. I
there's
do
a lot of Grinches
so.
Out there, isn't there?
There is. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's 5:01. Here's Dave Schwann.